make it the nicest place.
Is everybody ready?
I know.
It's an investment.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'd like to call the Committee of the Whole meeting for March 13th, 2018 at 6 p.m. First order of business is roll call, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Present.
Brenner Miller.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Trelowski.
Here.
Kolograph.
Here.
Spitznagle.
Here.
Thank you, council members. Also, let the record reflect that we have our law director, Mr. William Mason, present at this meeting, and we also have our fiscal officer, Katie Iconis, and clerk of council present at this meeting. Next item on the agenda is item C, persons having business before council. We give this opportunity for anybody that has any questions for council members or the mayor to come forward, but we do ask under each item on the agenda for council's or for residents' input. So if there's anyone who would like to come forward, the microphone's there. Please state your name and address.
Josephine Wardle, 17850 Egbert Road. I wanted to comment on the meeting we had with the mayor yesterday. I think it was well attended. It was very informative, and I wish there would be some way getting the information out to our residents to encourage them to attend. I mean, some of the things that was brought out, I was really amazed by everything that's going on, and I was just wondering if maybe we could kind of highlight a little bit more in the journal to let people know exactly what, how the rapport we had with the mayor answers, you know, questions and answers, and maybe we could get the, our residents more informed about this meeting. And the bagels were very good, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wardle. We've been doing it for a little over 30 months. And the crowd you see, a lot of those are repeat offenders. They keep coming. But the morning one is well attended. 45 to 50 people come. And that one last night, I think we had 18 to 20 there last night. So we'll continue to do it. We'll continue to make ourselves available and try and be transparent. Gloria usually comes to everyone. Last night, Mr. Linville was here. I know the first one we had Mr. Kolograph here, the council president, in the evening one. And I know we've had Mr. Spitznagle and Mary here at several of them as well, especially, you know, when we did the morning mm-hmm. ones. Any other comments from audience, from residents? Seeing none. Next item on the agenda is council comments. Council members, you do have your reports from all the directors in front of you. And I'll go around and ask if there's any comments. Mr. Linville, any comments at this time, sir?
No, I do not, Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Mary Brenner Miller, any comments at this time?
Yes, I do, Mr. Mayor. We had a planning commission meeting this past Thursday, and we gave a conditional approval for a new building to be built on Northfield Road, along with, obviously, a new business that's going to be moving in there. So it's conditionally approved as long as it meets the zoning and or planning and any architectural requirements we have of it. But it looks like it's a go-ahead, and it will bring more revenue and a very interesting venue to our village.
Thank you, Mary Brenner Miller. Any comments, Ms. Allen?
Yes, just two. On the rec department's
report.
They state that the Walton Hills Citizens League is having an auction. That's not the Citizens League. I think, Mr. Tenter, is that the 50-plus club that's having an auction?
Didn't hear.
50-plus club?
Yes.
Oh, it was down here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes,
so I just wanted to clarify that. And Walton Hills Citizens League is having a special meeting on Saturday the 24th to honor their Citizen of the Year for 2017, along with a Meet Your Organizations Day, too.
Where does it say Citizens League?
Down at the bottom.
In the paragraph at the very
bottom. That's what
bottom.
I see. I was looking at this. And
at the bullet points, she says 50 plus.
No, it's not in there.
But it's in the very paragraph at the bottom.
She wrote Citizens.
No, that's
the. Any other comments?
No.
Any comments, Mr. Lasky?
No, Mayor.
Mr. Kolograph, any comments?
Mr. Mayor, just to kind of piggyback on what Mary said, that investment in that property went through the Community Investment Corporation. I don't know if you would want to expound a little bit at this time about what kind of business that is, or do you want to wait till it's final? I mean, that's up to you.
No, I can elaborate.
I think it's not a bad, it's kind of exciting, especially since it's a new building. We haven't had a new building for a while in this village, and...
I didn't know if I should let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
That's why I was a little hesitant about saying what it was.
There is a rendering on the table here. We did talk about it last night at a meeting of the mayor. We have four new businesses locating in Walton Hills in 3 months. They'll generate approximately 60 jobs between the four, and then we still have another one that I know that some of the council's aware of and some are not. And they're under contract, so we'll wait till we have that occupancy permit in place to make that announcement. This is a business that last year approached the CIC when we formed it, and it is to make a movie studio editing and TV recording station on Northfield Road. They'll generate between 10 and 12 jobs, and it works off of hand-in-hand with the Roxino, with the entertainment up there. And this facility is well-established in Vancouver, Canada, and also in Florida and Georgia, and it's also established in California. These were individuals that have a very high success rate and have had a proven model of what they've accomplished in the movie industry. Most of you know that the movie industry in the state of Ohio gets really large tax breaks to shoot movies here. However, they usually do their movie production here and then go back to the West Coast and do all their editing and sound effects and electronics. So this will do that here in Walton Hills. So this will be the only one on the West Coast at this time that's associated with the West, that's associated with California. This will be the only one on the East Coast. And then the next one will be Vancouver. And this is also tied to, if everyone remembers, the performer called Prince. This is also tied to his association as well, which is in Milwaukee. So we've done our homework and we've discussed it for a year and a half through the CIC. Council's aware of it, and this will generate some jobs, and it'll be a brand new building, and it's an attractive building, got a lot of glass, and it looks like it's another step forward.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd just like to add, it also has a sound stage, so when performers come to the Roxino, if they come in early, they have the ability to practice, and they even have it set up that you can get your 18-wheeler or whatever kind of equipment you need in there. So it's going to be really something special and something out of the ordinary for this area. And it could generate a lot of different high-end type of entertainers coming through. And it could be fun for sleepy little Walton Hills to have something like that.
And this property was purchased by the Village of Walton Hills for $5,000 from First Energy. When in 2013 and 14, the council gave me permission to look at vacant land around the village and along the railroad track behind the gas station and by Carr Brothers and those other companies along Northfield Road, there was a lot of vacant land that was small acreage, not even acreage, it was very small lots. And most of the families had passed away, and it was sitting in the county for back taxes. So the village was able to receive those lands, and then after we gathered those lands together, Mr. Mason and Katie helped us to establish with First Energy the conversation of trading them land for that land out by Northfield Road. And that's how we got 2.5 acres available on Northfield Road. It started out as an expansion for MPK, if everyone remembers.
Right.
But MPK had, I think, close to 11 acres on their lot, so they wanted to go behind their existing building. They didn't want to go wider. So we ended up with this parcel for $5,000, and we turned around. We sold it for $17,000, but in the $17,000 was also for no incentives and for them to bring in jobs and to do their investments. So that's where this all came apart, came together and everything.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Lori.
I forgot. I'd like to expound a little bit on recreation. For the month of March, on Monday, this coming Monday, across the hall, the 50-plus club, our two speakers are going to be our police chief and our clerk of courts, and they're going to talk about the traffic cameras and also the different requirements for your state Ohio driver's license. So that's at 1 o'clock on Monday. And also the auction, the 50-plus club auction, is on April the 16th in the community room. Anybody can come to that. They don't have to be a member of the 50-plus club. And the proceeds will go to the Benevolent Fund here in the village of Walton Hills. As I said, the police chief is going to be speaking. As of this month, there's 15 police officers that have been killed. And so, you know, that's five a month. It's terrible, the situation that's going on with the police officers. So these traffic cams, I think we're going to talk about those a little later. But for me, I voted, one of the things was a safety issue, that for these police officers, they're not walking up to those cars so much. Let the traffic cam do the work for them. So, but please come to the meeting across the hall. On Monday, you can answer all your questions will be answered pertaining to the traffic cams by our police chief and our clerk of courts.
Mr. Congreff, that was good enough?
That was fantastic. I'm really sucking up tonight, ain't I?
Thank you.
That was good, Mayor. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is item E. We have our village engineer here, council. Because we're trying to put together all the variables for our 2018 budget, we wanted to invite the village engineer to give us some background and give us some discussion so we can look at our budget and evaluate what projects we want to do in 2018. And Mr. Sheehy, if you'll come up. And he did provide us with a memo. We copied everyone. Him and I have been going back and forth with several different things. This first memo is about the Northfield Road project. And I asked him to give us an estimate of what it would cost to have the arms, the fluted arms. Yes, Mr. Sheehy.
Right, yes. Mayor, when we proposed this project and we got funding for it, we did have it shown with decorative poles but span wire going across the intersection. And part of the concern there, obviously, is the cost. The mayor wanted to know what it would cost to install mast arms instead of the poles with the span wire. And the mast arms are the solid arms that go over the intersection. We tried to do a little bit of a graphic there to show you it's not exactly what it would look like, but to give a visual representation of what it will look like with the poles and span wire versus the poles with the mast arms. And the mast arms are, you know, the larger black arms that extend about halfway across the intersection.
I'm looking at the wrong one.
It's not a, you know, it's the cost for that is between $95,000 and $100,000 of extra cost to switch to the mast arm type design. It's a fair amount of money, but it's, some people prefer the way it looks. It's maybe a little cleaner. There are a number of wires crisscrossing that intersection already when you look at it, just because we're carrying so much electricity and other utilities on the poles that are in that area. Some of those wires will be going away they'll be offset when First Energy completes their relocation, but there's still going to be a fair number of wires that are going to cross the intersection.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Collingraff.
Don, just, is there any difference in maintenance of, is one, you know, with the wires, of course you need to make repairs, you know, you're going more in the air versus you have a little more control. I don't know if that's
right.
If there's any maintenance where you save anything or not.
It's hard to quantify that. In theory, the mast arms protect the internal wires a little better, the wires that are feeding the signals with the span wire. The cable is very durable, but the electrical current wires over time may require some maintenance. But, I mean, that's a fairly long, you're talking, you know, probably 30 years out type of thing. You do have, if for some reason there was a change to the intersection, the mast arms are very specific to how much weight they're carrying and how far over they go. Hard to retrofit. A lot of times you end up having to get rid of a mast arm and get another one that's, you know, 4 feet longer. It's not like you can just swap them out. The span wire In theory, you could reutilize the pole if you had to move a pole back, but you'd still end up having to rewire the thing. So it's not a huge difference, but there, I would say the mast arms are going to give you a little bit more protection on the components that are feeding the signal. You can put up signage there if you need to. Technology keeps changing right now. There's different technology to anticipate cars or do an optical on the cars that are coming, and then the signals would be actuated by the actual optical on the cars. That technology is just going to change. You know, it might end up that you end up having cameras in there that the police can just watch for speed, whatever else. With the span wire, you could still put some of that stuff on there. It just moves around more, so it's not as accurate. It's not as good because on a windy day, some of those things bounce around a little bit.
Mayor,
yes, Mr. Ralston,
could we give these to the audience just to see what he's talking about?
Sure.
The difference? Would you just pass
sure.
those around? Yes, with the mast and then just with the wires, you can see the difference.
Council members, if you take a ride into Oakwood on Broadway and Pettibone, they have the mast wires. If you go to Richmond Road and Broadway, and I think it's called Shepherd, correct?
Right.
They have the fluted poles and the arms coming out. You can tell a substantial difference in the intersections. And I know that on Sagamore Road, where the Roxino is, they all have the mast arms. And that's why after we quoted this job and after we did everything, I started looking and taking notice, and I just want to make sure that you're comfortable with what the final result will be when it's done. I personally like the mast arms, just for the looks and just because it fits everything else going on in Route 8. Mm-hmm. Now, that's council's call because you're the ones that have to approve the money. And I think, Mr. Sheehy, on this, I think it's the sixth page or something, you have the program. Is this, what is this? It says road program 456.
That's
separate, right?
That's separate, yeah.
Okay.
We're kind of picking one topic at a time.
I don't want to jump too far ahead then, I'm sorry.
Right.
I thought that was for that project. Okay.
Right. No, we did mention, it's sort of on another track, but the same project, CEI is still in the process of relocating their wires. They had a number of big storms this winter, and not just here, but sometimes in other service areas. Then they end up sending emergency crews, and everything that's sort of a maintenance issue gets put on the back burner. They did say that they should be done with their relocation by June. So that would really give us the opportunity to bid this project out now. And then there is some lead time on getting the poles, and I understand that there's a steel supplier that does almost all the work now that's shutting down, which is creating additional time, lead time on the poles. We're talking about 5-6 month lead time on the poles. So whatever we decide, we do need to make a decision one way or the other, get it bid, and then they can order either the mast arms or the poles with the wires, so that we can move forward with this project.
If you could give a little history of this project. I know we started it in 15 or 16 with discussion, and I know we applied for a grant.
Right. We did receive funding from Ohio Public Works Commission to pay for a pretty good chunk of this project, and I don't have the numbers off the top of my head. But part of it is doing a little bit of a lane widening, and then also the biggest thing was getting First Energy to move their utility poles, because those poles that were literally a couple feet off the edge of the pavement were constantly a hazard. You know, vehicles would be rubbing up against them or knocking into them all the time, and they do carry a lot of electricity, and it was a very big cost for First Energy to move them, but that's their cost. It's not on us. But the coordination of that, and I know that our law director had some good contacts at First Energy that sort of helped expedite the process and at least get a good meeting where we could move forward. So there was a good push on our end to make that happen. And that's really where we're at. We've delayed it a bit because of the relocation of the poles. So
we had to ask for a little bit of an extension.
We've asked for an extension.
Extension on the money that we guaranteed because it didn't happen within the time frame that was, you know, allotted. And they've granted us that extension, correct?
We got an extension for really about a year.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
On that note, when is the year up?
We need to be, I believe we need to be complete in June of next year.
Okay.
So that puts us at needing to get that out to bid, especially with the six-month lag on the polls. It's got to be awarded this year.
My concern was, as we're going through this budget, budgeting the entire project in 2018, and apparently now with CEI's not getting their part done in time, we can move part of the cost of that project between the 2 years. Is that not correct? The way we have it budgeted?
I'm sorry. All of a sudden, I'm drying out here.
Yeah. I believe we might be able to be, I can't guarantee it, but I can see if we can't move some of the finishing project by next summer.
Because I would
like
to do that.
Because the asphalt closes down around November. And that's probably close to the finish when you do the asphalt.
Right.
Yeah, I think the way it might actually go is you'd probably award the project, let's just to use a number, let's say around June, July. They'd order the poles. They'd probably do most of the pavement improvements prior to installing the poles because of the order time. And so the poles and that installation, which is probably about half the cost of the job, wouldn't be till 19. But you still have to commit to the financially, you still have to award the contract for the full amount. The actual spend side would probably about half of it would occur in 19.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's the goal. And I think it's, and I might be wrong, Don, but I think it's either 390 or 490 for the package, and then it's a matching grant where they pay the 490. I think that's
yeah,
the
great.
Right, and I'll have to get the exact numbers, but
I'm just babbling out numbers. I'm pretty sure that's real close.
You're in the ballpark.
But also remember, please keep in mind, Council, that a lot of those wires are not First Energy wires. There's a lot of utility wires, telephone, cable TV. So if you'll go down Northfield Road, you'll see where the telephone poles are cut off. All those wires below belong to somebody else. So that's another hesitant. I know I've talked to Terry Killeen and I talked to First Energy.
Right.
And they said everything's coordinated to change over at the same time. But, you know, utilities move at their own speed.
Right. They'll pull the electrical, and then they work their way down the pole, you know.
Yeah.
And whoever the last person is apparently has to actually pull the pole out. So there is a little. Sometimes there's a little bit of a rush to get it done at the end because nobody wants to be the last person.
Yeah, because the last person, I think, has to take out the old pole.
Right, exactly.
So that's the cost to them. Any questions, Council, about that particular intersection?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Sheehy, so yes. It would be an extra $100,000 to use the mast arms on top of what we've already gotten the grant for.
That's correct.
And we have to match funds too. My question would be then, if a year or 2 years down the road, we have a windfall and we end up with an extra $200,000 to try to do something with, are we able to retro those span wires then to mast arms instead?
That's a good question. Just the way they're designed, you really can't do that. The mast arms are designed specifically to carry a certain amount of weight based on the length of the arm and so forth. So it would be tough to design the pole that could be modified. It wouldn't. It's actually it's a totally different pole. It's
okay,
a totally different type
of pole.
That's what
I wanted to.
And that's where part of the cost is. You're buying a less expensive pole because the span wire layout is actually a little bit less weight, and it's easier to install. The mast arm is pretty heavy.
Any other questions? Okay, Mr. Sheehy, we're going to go on with the road program and stuff. Mr. Sheehy.
Yes, we did put together a little memo of recommendations on streets that need to get addressed. We did look through the streets as we do periodically to kind of give you an idea of what we think the most important streets would be to get paved. And these are the local streets that would be really entirely upon us to do the maintenance on. We show...
I'm glad you used his large font again.
Yeah.
Somebody's doing us a favor.
Well,
Sorry about that. I looked at that on Saturday and I thought, there, Don, thanks.
I have the bigger sheets. We should have printed them out in bigger paper for you. So, anyway, the top five are Chestnut, Hickory, Tulip, Logan, and Fern Drives. We're looking at a cost of about $380,000 to do a resurfacing, some base repair and resurfacing of those roadways. We also have about $76,000 for spot repairs that need to get addressed. We have, that puts the total at about $456,000 for a road program. Separately, we do have some crack seal material that we're going to get funded by the county. That's on a separate memo, but this would just be for asphalt repair and resurfacing work. We really haven't addressed it over the past couple of years. It's something we've continued to delay, and some of it's based on the severity of the winter. This winter has been probably a little more harsh than normal. We've seen worse, though. But they all take their toll on the streets, and a lot of it's how much plowing, how much salting, and how many freeze-thaw cycles. So, and winter's not quite over yet either. Part of the problem we get into is over time, these costs just keep building up. You have more and more streets that are going to need this kind of attention.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
That, maybe I'm jumping the gun here with the grant that we got from the county for that for
yes.
the spot repairs. If
yes.
we do all those spot repairs, how much are we talking about?
For the crack seal work. I think
that
we had about
have to do.
Yeah, there's a separate memo. I think we were looking at about
the next one. Okay, if we're not done with this, then we'll wait.
Yeah, the next one talks to that.
Okay. Yeah, I think
we have several projects on
the labor's about $40,000. They're coming up with $34,000 as a materials cost. So, in the crack seal, it does extend the life of some of the pavements that are a little older. We do get some more mileage out of them. We've used it a lot in the past, and it has helped keep the roads together and doesn't make them look all that great, but it does extend the life a little bit and keep them serviceable. So that's something we would recommend, and those are on county routes. That's why the county participates in that. So those are streets that are getting a fair amount of traffic. But again, we're looking at about a $40,000 labor cost plus about $34,000 for the materials, which is reimbursable. I would recommend that we definitely do that, since you're getting almost half the cost of the materials or half the cost of the installation paid for by the county.
Back to the road program, if there's any questions from council about that, the estimate and everything like that. I don't expect anyone to make a commitment tonight, but I want everyone to look at that when we do the budget, how we're going to pay for that and how we look for that funding.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Don, I know the dreaded question we always ask, if we were going to, let's say, cut that in half or cut something out, what's your opinion there? Is it
prioritize?
Yeah,
I think it comes down to, I'd have to look at what amount you wanted to spend, and then we try to figure out how best to approach it. You can't really do half of a particular road, even
right.
if it's the worst road. So a little bit of it is if you say, hey, this is how much we can afford to do this year or next year, then we'll try to figure out and pick and choose what the best strategy would be to get a competitive price. You want to make sure that you're doing enough of the work so that you're getting a decent price on it too. Sometimes you break it down into such a small package that now you're going to pay
more,
10 or 15% more, because you're not really doing something that's all that effective.
Right. Anything that you say, hey, you guys got to do, you have no choice, you have?
Well, the horseshoe, is probably, you get the most traffic on that. The other streets, and this isn't really fair to the people that live on those streets, but there's just not that many houses on those streets. You might have five or six houses on a couple of those streets. So, you try to do the ones that are going to have more cars on it. That becomes the deciding factor, is the number of vehicles and the ability to, get a trash truck and emergency services up and down those streets.
And as we expressed before, these are secondary roads, you know, residential, so we will not get any kind of grant money or anything like that, correct, Mr. Sheehy?
Yeah, there really just isn't any outside funding available for the side streets.
Roads.
You know, the county routes or obviously the state route, there's lots of funding opportunities based on condition, but with these smaller roads, they're really on us.
Any questions on the road programs that he proposed? Like I said, I don't want you to make a decision tonight. I want you to discuss it, and we'll work through our budget and see where we're at as far as funding and everything. Another one I wanted him to touch on is South Meadow Park. We've had a lot of flooding over there, and we had a study done, and there's a memo. It's 3518. Mr. Sheehy just explained that this project is done. This project
Correct.
Is totally reimbursed by Northeast Ohio Sewer District.
Yeah, we had South Meadow Park Drive. We have pretty significant and chronic flooding issue over there for a number of reasons, but one of the issues is the size of the culvert that crosses the road and the age of the culvert, and it really needs to be repaired. We've run the numbers on it, and it is a project that is eligible for a cost share program that comes through Regional Sewer District. We have monies that are building up in an account. We can use those monies, and we've already used them on some projects in Walton Hills to go ahead and do this type of project. We're very confident that we can get it funded, but we would need some, you know, we would need the okay to apply for those funds to move forward with this. It's about $80,000. Again, it's eligible for funding from Regional, and it would be a nice project to get it taken care of this year. It's not going to fix all the flooding problems on South Meadow Park, but whenever you're dealing with drainage, you got to sort of work your way upstream. This is a sort of a bottleneck here at the roadway, and this would protect the roadway from water coming over the top of the road, which is really, you know, a public infrastructure and safety concern. And it also provides more capacity for the stream as it's flowing through those lots. Now, as you move up the stream, there are other things that could be done theoretically, but I think this is the part in the public right-of-way is something that we should try to get addressed.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Which culvert on South Meadow Park are we talking about? Is it the one closest to Alexander Road?
Yes.
Well, there's no. It's actually
second.
The second one, just near the bend.
Okay.
Yeah,
that one there where it floods all those houses over there, mm-hmm. Ray Zalata and mm-hmm. D'Amico's and Turner's, and then all the so the other gentleman on mm-hmm. the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So it impacts about five houses.
And we have not spent any of that, but we have not.
We spent it on the Blondin family.
Yeah, but that was for seven. Well, I got to get my years straight. 17.
Right.
2018.
This will be correct. Right.
We have not allocated or committed any mm-hmm. of those funds for 2018.
We have not. And they like it's a rolling account. So they yes. literally, it's a bank account that's with Regional. We can talk to them about this project, which we've had preliminary discussions about its mm-hmm. eligibility. I'm quite certain it would be fundable. If for some reason there's only $70,000 or $60,000, if there's a gap in what's actually come into that account, we could borrow into the future year. It may be something where we end up fronting the money and having to get reimbursed 6 months or a year later. But as the money continues to flow into that account, we're able to spend it.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Don, different, and because I know we had a lot of debate on the other project we did there, because quite a bit of it was on a homeowner's property.
Private property,
this
right.
This right here, the work we're doing is on, it's our responsibility here, different than where there was some shared responsibility.
Right here, it's virtually all the work is within the public right-of-way. It's our culvert. We own it. We have an obligation to maintain it. There is a small portion of work that involves, there's a house just west of the culvert that has in their yard a very small pipe. We ran the numbers on it. We'd really like to take that pipe out. It serves no purpose. think we've had some discussion with the property owner about if we took that pipe out, that it would make things better for the street. So we would need to finalize that, and I'd like to take that part out as part of this work, but it would be, it's a couple thousand dollars. It's not a huge chunk of the project like the other project was.
Any questions on that? That's on South Middle Park.
So this will come out of that, the sewer. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Jennifer. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yes.
Mr. Sheehy, we could apply for the grant, the cost sharing.
Yes.
But we don't have to necessarily use it. I mean,
yes. There's, like I said, there's a bank account there. Mm-hmm. This project is eligible. We would need to show them the project and give them the plans, and then they could say, yes, it's eligible, and here's the money. Or we could always decide not to do that, I suppose. But
okay.
We'd have both options be available.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, we have 4 years of idle. If we don't use it, then it rolls back into the Northeast Ohio Sewer District.
Right. It builds up over a period
right.
of time.
So
they want this money to be spent by the
right.
communities. And these are exactly the types of projects. They're addressing a flooding issue, which becomes a water quality issue, because when the stream goes over the road and out of its banks and washes stuff out, all that mud and sediment and everything creates a problem downstream.
So that is definitely a project we're going to look at in 18. Mm-hmm. If everybody's okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Gloria?
Don,
yes.
What do we collect in a year that goes into this fund approximately? Is it approximately $80,000?
It's in the ballpark, I'm going to say, between 80,000 and 90,000, something like that. Yeah. And again, it's collections based, so if they don't get it in for some reason, but there's a lot of the big industrial parking lots, a lot of hard surface, they're paying a pretty substantial chunk of the funds that go into that account. So it's a good source for us to take care of these smaller projects like this.
Any questions on that? We'll move on to the next memo in this package.
Okay, the next one was the crack seal, which we covered a little bit, but that's the roughly $40,000 of labor. The $34,000 is funded by the county. There's a memo attached from the county just showing the crack seal funding that we can receive. Mayor, I'd like to go to the next topic unless somebody has a question about the crack seal, and that's the Alexander Road paving project. There's a portion of Alexander Road from Walton to Northfield that we would like to resurface. We applied for and received a grant from the county for $250,000, and that's a straight grant, which is really, really good news to get that kind of funding. The county's got a pretty aggressive program to get money out to communities to help them with these costs on these county routes. The remainder of the funding, we applied for a combination grant and loan from Ohio Public Works Commission. We did not get funded at the local level, District 1, which is Cuyahoga County, but we were recommended to be funded out of the small government account at the state level, and I think we're number one on the list. So we haven't received word yet, but I would say with 95% certainty that we are going to get funded from OPWC at the state level, and that's going to be a combination, like I said, of a $159,000 grant and a $200,000 loan. The loan's a zero interest loan. It's payable over 20 years, and so that, without doing any fancy math, that's 10 grand a year. So that's a pretty nice setup to be able to resurface, you know, a nice thoroughfare that runs through the center of town. So that's about as good as you're going to get in terms of grants, combination of the county money, OPWC grant, and a zero interest loan.
Okay, so I can just summarize. Bottom line for Walton Hills will be approximately $200,000 debt that we have 20 years to pay back at 0%.
Right.
So approximately 10 grand a year for 20 years. And that probably won't take place till 19, it looks like.
Yeah, that's the funding. If we get the funding from Ohio Public Works, the earliest we could start in that would be July 1 of 18.
Okay.
Here's where it gets a little delicate. If you want to go ahead and do the work in 18, we cannot get the money from the county until 19, because they operate on a January 1. So in January 1, that's when their $250,000 would be available. So we have the option. If we want to push it, we could get it done this year. If we decide we want to wait till next year, we'd have, you know, both funding mechanisms in place. So that's a decision that we can make in terms of when we want to spend it, or do we want to front the money and then wait from the county.
Yeah, Council, I believe this would be a budget discussion, and I think we could, at that time, evaluate how we want to do this, if it's next year, and plan it in our schedule, or how we want to do it. Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm. And we should know here within the next month or so whether or not we got funded. You know, from a planning standpoint, we have to hope that we did get funded from Ohio Public Works for this.
Okay. Any questions about that, council members? Okay. Oh, this is a letter from the county, $250,000?
Yes, that's just to show that the county 50-50 program.
Okay, the last part of this whole package is, council members, I had, and this is just a proposal and just an estimate. So if you'll see, I asked if we could make those aprons into that facility on Alexander Road more accessible for big trucks and big equipment. I don't know if everybody's been up there lately, but the trash truck got stuck last week in the snow and pretty much tore up a lot of our lawn because that entrance is very windy and narrow. And I think this would also offer opportunities for easy access for our residents off of Notting Hill instead of Alexander, as far as both ways. And this is strictly just a proposal. And right now we have 100 spots of parking, and I said, what would it take to add 28 more spots? And that's what this is. And it looks like it gave us an estimate on the next page.
Right.
That is about $88,000, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just a proposal, council, so you know the options. And I think we can discuss that at the budget as well.
Is that resurfacing also?
Mr. Mayor?
Is that resurfacing? That's not resurfacing. That's just...
That was just adding space.
Just adding
space. It wasn't resurfacing of the existing lot. You may, if you don't resurface the existing lot, you could put some type of a top coat and skin then restripe coat. It, you know, to do something just to make it look a little nicer. And that could be another 5,000-ish number on that.
And well, let me ask you this, Mr. Sheehy. Say we... want to have this done, we decide to do this in the month of July, and how long would a turnaround be to where this would be available by August or September?
If
I just need to know time frame.
Right. I guess the question is, you know, when would we bid the work?
Okay.
So once we award the contract, it would be just a matter of scheduling. The contractor, this is really maybe 2 weeks worth of work for a contractor to have things kind of torn up for a little bit of time. So you'd probably be not totally out of commission, but you'd have to limit the access to it for a little while. The driveway aprons on Notting don't really interfere with the main driveway, so there's really not too much interference there. They could do those and do most of the excavation for the widening of the parking lot at the same time. And then resurface it. There'll be a little bit of time when they're actually bringing trucks in and out for resurfacing. But it's a couple weeks worth of work.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I know when we had the fundraiser a couple of weeks ago, there people were parking in the church across the street. So we definitely, you know, the hall has caught on and it's being booked, and you really could use the extra parking because they're filling up all the what's next door and across the street, the church, and that also.
It's just an option. I know that at that particular fundraiser we had 514 people there. Both rooms were full and everything else, standing room only. I think they raised $22,000 that night. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to ask you anyways, Don, but I already know the answer. Is there any funding available? Are we able to anything now or in the future?
Yeah, that's a tougher one on this. Sometimes there's,
our,
you know,
city property.
Yeah, we'd have to look into it. Occasionally, there might be some small grants that we could go after, but you know, usually a lot of those come with a lot of strings. You know, so you get a grant for, you know, 25% of the cost, but you end up spending more money just meeting the grant obligations, or you got to put in, you know, permeable pavers or some type of environmental product that costs more to install than just the regular parking lot. You know, I guess the short answer is, yeah, there might be something out there, but I wouldn't bank on it making a huge change to the actual out-of-pocket cost for the village here.
If there's no more comments from council, I'll open it up to audience.
Yes, one other issue that we talked a little bit about, I know we've certainly, the condition of Dunham Road is a problem. And that, because it's a county route, it would be a project that potentially would be eligible for funding. I would like to pursue the same type of funding that we're getting for Alexander Road, sort of the 1-2 approach, and try to see if we can get funding from the county, which is a huge help to get that first $250,000 commitment, because it really provides leverage when you're going after other funding. And I still would like to go for OPWC funding then too. Again, part of the thing is, you don't want to, if you're trying to get funding for a road because of condition, you don't want to spend a lot of money patching that road, because when they evaluate the condition of it, they're going to say it's not that bad. So it's unfortunate, but sometimes you have to let the bad road be bad for a little while and go after funding aggressively. And then when they rate the roadway, it rates as a very eligible project because of the condition. So it's not a great answer to tell somebody when they're driving down the road and they say, this road's in terrible shape, what are you going to do about it? You know, sometimes you have to wait a little bit, let it be in bad shape, and show that, yeah, it really does need major attention.
Yes.
And that's a big ticket. You know, that's going to be $1.5 million range, just ballpark budget number out there. So that's a lot of funding to try to acquire. But again, if their condition is bad enough, traffic volume, it's on a hill, so there's always some safety concerns there. I think we have a lot going for us in terms of applying for funding.
It's on our radar screen because Dunham Road is really bad, and it's something that we've Don and I have talked about today, and we've talked about in the past. So we'll probably come to you and try and get a resolution for permission to go for grants. Doesn't mean we have a commitment, just means we're pursuing state money and whatever else we can get. So if everybody's okay with that, we'll probably bring that up in the month of April as far as getting permission from you.
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I've got a question, not concerning anything we talked about tonight, but a culvert, and there was a resident a while ago that had an issue right here on Walton Road with drainage and flooding and things like that, and
I know
you had looked at the issue. Can you give us a synopsis of that or an update?
Yeah, that is, again, we go back to the regional sewer district program. When a stream is over a certain drainage area, 300 acres is the magic number for them. It is actually part of the regional sewer district service area. Mm-hmm. What they would do under their own program, we don't have to apply for funding. They're just going to address it if it ranks, if the project is the appropriate project for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They have it on their radar. They've been out in the field to inspect it. They are prioritizing that project, among others that are within the southeast Cuyahoga County, Cuyahoga River branch, Tinker's Creek, and a couple other branches that they look at that whole area and try to evaluate, but it is definitely on their radar. So it is a project that, you know, once they decide to go forward with some of these, and they are pushing to get projects out the door and start spending some of the money that they're collecting for projects like this, we'll have to update you. Right now, I know that they're evaluating it.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
We did provide a memo, I think, in November or October.
Yeah.
And Northeast Ohio took that Walton Road project and also the one on Sagamore Road over by Mr. Iopoulos and Mr.
Foliano?
Foliano, yeah. Their banks are caving in somewhat, and there's a telephone pole there, but that all belongs to the Northeast Ohio Sewer District, so it's not really our responsibility anymore, all the way down to Sunny Drive. So I just know right there at Sunny Drive, we'll replace that culvert. Northeast Ohio Sewer District has taken a lot of responsibility and actually went up the creek and removed trees, and that's something they haven't done in the past. They've been aggressive since last year with that. But the one on Sagamore Road and the one on Walton Road, I do have memos. I'll copy them for you again. But we do have a study there. I think the one under Walton Road, they were not going to do the culvert, but they were talking about the banks and the encampment and stuff there. So that is under the radar. Like you said, they are reviewing it, and I do know they even talked about another piece of property to maybe purchase a home to make some type of delineation or whatever with water, but that's just discussion right now.
I know in other communities, they what they have to do is they have to evaluate a whole watershed. So they may come up with, you know, 20 or 30 things that need to be addressed in that watershed, and then they try to budget it, and they prioritize all those different pieces and parts. In some other communities, that they've already started some of that process. So it's not, it's just a matter of time. And they, what they typically do is they'll identify projects, and then they'll come back and have a discussion with myself and the mayor, and just so that we're aware of what projects they're looking at doing. They want to know that we're on board with it, or we don't have any strong objections. And then typically these things, they take a life of their own. The regional talks to property owners. They get permission. Sometimes they ask us for some assistance on, you know, introducing them to people and things like that. But they really, they're going to keep working on these things.
Thank you.
Mr. Leeville, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, sir? Mayor, I was just going to mention, this looks like a minor problem, but we actually have a culvert on Alexander and McClellan, and there's standing water. It's been that way all winter. Just it's up level with the ground.
We are going to address that when the weather breaks with the county.
Okay.
Yeah, we think that's calcified real bad.
Okay.
That's a storm sewer, yes.
All right.
Yes. You brought that to us last year.
Exactly.
And that was something we did not run a camera or a jet down in.
Yeah.
And that's why when we turn this over to the county, it'll be taken care of a lot quicker.
Okay. It's gotten worse in here.
I know.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Question for Don.
Sure.
I see the signs around Tinker's Creek Watershed. Can you define what does that mean? What is a watershed?
A watershed, it defines a geographic area where everything in that area drains towards a particular stream. So when you're saying Tinker's Creek Watershed, they sort of define the boundaries. On one side of the sign, it drains into another watershed, and on that side, it drains to Tinker's Creek. It's sort of like the Continental Divide. You know, this drains to the area, drains to the Mississippi. This area drains to the Ohio. Well, you keep breaking down into smaller increments. So
how far does Tinker's Creek go? I know it's out in Twinsburg, in that. How,
right.
Where does it start and end?
A pretty good chunk of it is in Macedonia. A little bit of it's in Sagamore. There's little branches and loops that pick up really a pretty good chunk of the southeast side of Cuyahoga County and some
Beechwood.
Area. Yeah, there's a branch that goes all the way, touches part of Beechwood, Bedford Heights.
Doesn't that come out of Reminderville too, though? I mean, Tinker's Creek.
I'm not sure if it goes all the way over there. You know, there's actually a lot of maps on Regional Sewer District's website if you go on there, if you have some time to go. And they have some really good graphics that show the limits of their service area, drainage areas. There's a bunch of little streams that, you know, come off. Everybody thinks of the Cuyahoga, but there's Euclid Creek and a bunch of other little tributaries in Rocky River, and then there's branches off of all those rivers and streams. So they try to break them up into sub-watersheds. But the whole Tinker's Creek watershed, it's probably about 9 or 10 communities. We're actually members of Tinker's Creek Watershed Partners, which is a environmental group that really focuses on trying to, you know, improve the water quality of the Tinker's Creek area.
Any other questions from council? I'll open it up to the audience. Any questions from the audience to our village engineer about the road programs for projected road programs for 2018? Seeing none. Thank you, Mr. Sheehy. I'm sure we'll have more questions.
Okay. Thank you for the water. Sorry for the scratchy voice.
I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, council members, is rubbish collection fee ordinance. Council, we've discussed this, and I know there's an ordinance attached to your agenda about it. I just want to make a proposal tonight. After our last meeting, there was some conversations going back and forth with Inside Millage, conversations about other options, different variables. So what we did was, I just wanted, before we talk about the, we already know that we were establishing a fee of $14 per home, per address. And we have ordinances on an agenda to, you know, be voted on, discussed about, and everything else. So that $14 per home per month comes out to approximately $150,000. Could be a variable, 151 and some change, or 149 and some change. But it's 150 is where we're variable with those numbers. Am I correct, Katie?
Roughly, yes.
Okay. So everything I say is approximate, so I don't get nailed with a decimal point. All right? I have a piece of information in front of you that is, if we were to raise the millage for the village of Walton Hills to 2.4, not the inside millage of 3 that everyone talks about, or 3.8. If we were to raise the millage to 2.4 with the council's vote, this would equate to the average homeowner paying $9 for their trash. And this would equate to $151,000 to cover the trash.
Mr. Mayor, excuse me. They wouldn't be paying for the trash.
We would collect the money
out of the inside.
Right.
Just want to make that.
Yes, it would go on our tax bill in 2019, and this would pay for the trash that the village of Walton Hills is paying for. I gave you a copy of your evaluation of your properties so everyone knows what everyone would be paying per month and per year. The average home in Walton Hills would be around $9 to $10 per home. But with this kind of inside millage, this would give us the leverage of the businesses paying $81,000 per year, and it would also give the utilities, we would capture cash from the utilities, which would be about 125, right?
135.
135. So with those two equations, we would have approximately $215,000 that we could leverage towards our roads, and we could designate that money for the roads. And that would give us the opportunity to borrow and bond out money over 20 years. And our payments, as Mr. Sheehy just recognized, with a 0% loan of $10,000, we could easily use that $200,000 to bond out $1 million or $2 million and to still have a very small payment over a 20-year period. This is not unusual. This is done in many, many communities in the county. This would still bring Walton Hills into the third lowest in all of Cuyahoga County in millage. So I'm just giving you some examples so everyone knows the facts. Mr. Collengraff, unfortunately, would be hit the hardest. He
good
would pay
job,
seven.
Don.
He would be
only right here.
Yeah. Mr. Collengraff has a valuation of $255,000, and his payment would be $214.79 a year, which would come out to $17.90. Mr. Spitzenagel. Yes, not the whole millage, just a small amount. So Mr. Spitzenagel would pay $143.14 or $11.93 per month instead of $14. Ms. Terlowski, who's on a homestead tax break, she would pay $94 a year and 42 cents, and it would come out to $7.87 per month. And we have a lot of residents on homestead. That's better than $14 per month. Mary Brenner Miller would pay $118 a year. Her valuation is $118,000. Her home would be $99 a year tax, and she'd pay $8.27. Miss Allen's valuation is $95,000, and she would pay $80 per year, and her trash, or her tax for her trash, would be $6.67. Mr. Linville is $112,000 a year, and he's also on homestead, and he would pay $81 a year or $6.82 per month. Myself, my valuation's at $145,000. I would pay $121,000 or $121 a year, and my monthly payment would be $10.16. This is a solution to the $14 across the board for all our residents. And then we would give us the leverage of being able to collect from the utilities, and it would also give us the leverage of collecting from our businesses. So the burden is not on our residents. All we're doing here is raising inside millage to cover the trash for our residents, which is a more feasible ideal and a more equitable, because it feeds off of giving us an opportunity to have another $200,000 to bond roads and to fix projects. So that's, before we make too much discussion about the rubbish, I wanted everyone to consider this, because we do have legislation in place for the rubbish, but I would like to get everyone's input, and it's just a proposal. As I said last night, I throw the bacon in the pan, you have to light the fire and fry it up.
Mayor, too, one of the things that I continuously hearken back to as well, though, is that when we start getting more and more development, more and more tax sources, et cetera, or money sources, these issues can be revisited. I mean, there can always be rollbacks, you know, which is something that I would support, okay? And I want the people to know that, that this, in fact, can be done. Thank you, Mayor.
Well, last night at our Meet the Mayor meeting, it was overwhelmingly expressed that they supported this.
Yeah.
And I think I said we had about 18 to 20 people here.
Yeah, there's 22, Mayor, I count.
22, okay. Well, we have 16 here tonight, so we had a bigger crowd last night.
So, I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
So, Mayor, if we were to do this, the total amount that this would bring in would be how much? About 200 and some thousand?
370. If you look on, I think it's on the second page of your packet, it breaks it down showing what it would be currently. So currently, we're about receiving about $46,000. If we were to go with the proposed 2.7 mils, it would bring in $417,000. So we would have an additional $370,000. But the bulk of that, you know, 41% comes from the residents, but we're looking at nearly 40% from public utilities. Besides Cuyahoga Heights, we have the second highest percentage of public utilities in our community, and we get nothing from them, as we all know. And then there, if you look at the valuations, which Vic may have pointed out, but their valuation from 16 and 17 went up $15 million. I mean, so their valuation continues to grow. We continue to have to provide services to them, and we receive nothing in return. So. This would cover, instead of having to bill the residents, we can dedicate those funds to pay for rubbish. And like the mayor said, the additional funds can be earmarked for capital improvements.
Well, personally, I'd like to see the utilities pay. I pay them plenty. So I'd like to see them do a little bit to show it the other way and help us. So...
It's an opportunity.
Yeah,
it's just this. Does council want to take that opportunity?
Yeah.
The last page of that packet I give out to you does show all of Cobb County, and the average millage for the county is 9.97. We are still the lowest at the very top, and if we propose this and this goes through, this will not kick in until 2019, of course, and this would be 2.7. Now we are already at 3, so my proposal is to. Interject 2.4 plus the 3 makes 2.7. And that gives us an opportunity to not put the burden on our residents other than their property tax, but not, we don't have to become billers. We don't have to bill them every month. And it also gives us an opportunity to provide for our seniors who don't have the evaluation of a $300,000 home, or very many, there's a lot of variables here, and I think this is the most equitable way and the best way to benefit all of our residents. And when the majority is going to be $9, $9 to $10 cost, you have to look at who you're serving. Are you serving the majority or are you serving the minority?
Well, Mr. Mayor,
just an option.
Right. No, I know. Because me and him have been talking about this, and I haven't shared it with any accounts just because I knew it was coming here the last couple days. Because I have not been in favor of raising inside millage, as some Vic has, and Katie, our fiscal officers, have you know, been pushing at. One reason was because it was something I kept thinking, well, it makes us attractive to businesses for economic development. And we all know your income tax check, your property tax doesn't support the community because we get very little of it. It goes to the schools, the metro parks. For like a house like mine, I think the village gets $18 out of my, I think I pay like $5,600 a year property tax. The village here gets $18. We get our money from our payroll tax.
Income taxes.
Payroll tax from the businesses. So I the bottom line is we have to get the businesses in here, which we're working strong on, and think, because that's what supports your community is the payroll tax from the businesses. Some communities that don't have it, I had a long discussion with a person very involved with Lakewood. Vic would probably be mad at me if he knew it, because Vic used to be a fiscal officer there. Lakewood has one of the highest property taxes there, and they pay with pretty much with their property tax a lot of their services, but they got one of the highest. Okay, that person has an old house in Birdtown there, and pays a lot more than me. Oh gosh, probably like 10 times or maybe 15 times. He wouldn't share the exact amount. 17 times, yeah. So they funded, so, but the more I look at it, we're still the third lowest. Who's higher than us would be lower than us would be Independence?
It would be Chagrin Falls and Independence if we passed.
If we were to pass that.
And Chagrin Falls is a township.
Yes.
Right. And two communities that we really don't compete with economically for development. Okay, they're not. They don't border us. They're especially Chagrin Falls. Was it
Township
is totally different than Walton Hills. Independence maybe a little bit. So I'm a little more open than I was before. But I still think we need to have a lot of discussion. I guess looking at, let's say, just for myself, let's just look at it, because I, as a council person, I got to look at it from all. For everybody, like the mayor says, I can't worry about Don Kolograph. I got to look at the majority, and also what's best for this village, as we talked about in our last meeting. Because no matter what, we got to keep this an attractive village. You got to make it viable. You know, some people say, "Oh, go to the sheriff, cut out everything." Yeah, you can do that, but then who wants to move here? Who wants to live here? You have to make it viable. And I'll go back to this. Garfield Heights has been in fiscal emergency for years, but the state, who funds them, still allows them to keep recreation open. They keep the skating open because they know just for your well-being, you have to have other things. You just can't go to work. You need to exercise the mind. You need to have relaxation. Or things will continue to happen like they are in this country that aren't for the betterment of it. But I look at my situation. So I would pay 14 because we know we're going to do something. We got to do something. We have to balance the budget. We have to do things. So I definitely would pay 14 if we passed the trash. I'd be paying 17 now, which is $36 a year more. Okay, but we're able to collect that money from the utilities and the businesses.
Yep.
So instead of getting $150,000, we're going to get $370. I don't know. I mean, if I look at it from numbers and you look at it too, how can I vote? I have to almost vote for it if you really...
We could designate...
Really look at it.
The residence number would... We could, you know, legislatively, we could designate that money covers the rubbish removal. We could make sure, if someone wants to argue that point, we could make sure that that is always collected to cover the rubbish removal. Mr. Kolograph, without going into too much information, there is a memo out there that I put out last night. You do have it in front of you. It is from Cleveland Partners, Greater Cleveland Partners, and Jobs Ohio. It shows the economic of Walton Hills, and it shows the economic of everyone we're competing with. We have three facilities in Walton Hills that are on the market for, you know, lease or sale. And it shows the properties, and everyone knows, if you'll follow down to about the third paragraph, it says 7120 Crick Road. That's the old WeatherTight building. That's the old Narandex building. Everybody knows that building. That's the building
right.
That's mostly warehouse. It's on the market because they have warehouse space available. They don't have manufacturing space available. The next two is Our House Furniture and Todd Industry. Well, we all know that Todd Industry's got a lease now. So that building is being filled as we speak. So that's coming off there. We have three buildings. But if you look at this real closely, you'll see we compete with Cleveland, who has hundreds of facilities available, Solon, Glen Willow, who has 9, Maple Heights, who have, I think it was 36. You go through this, and you're going to see we are still very competitive on the economic market. Even if we raise this, we are still below all these other communities that have vacancies. So I gave this to you tonight so you guys can review this and use it in comparison when you think about this inside millage. Because it's unbelievable that in all the village we have 3 empty buildings and 2 are under contract. And I've heard the rumor that we had 40 empty buildings. I don't know where I heard that from, but I heard it on the campaign trail. So I just want to let you know that this is a fact, and this is through Jobs Ohio and Greater Cleveland Partners, and they both actively, advertise our buildings and properties. Mm-hmm. Now you're going to say Manaway has a sign up. They're not gone yet. That's why it's not on there.
Right.
Okay. But I do know that our house is under conversation and contract that will be a positive for the village once that's solidified.
Katie, do you have the sheet, Mr. Mayor? Katie, yes. Do you have the sheet from the property tax and special assessment that Vic, you were off.
Vic had it last week.
Yeah, I'm familiar
I
with it.
I might have it.
You're familiar with
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I guess it's because every time I look at it, just you cringe when you Valley View's right there above it, but I just
Valley View has a special assessment
you, you
for recreation.
Broken out further. As
no, no. I was just going to say so. What would change here right now if this is right here? I'll look at Brian's and I'll let you. I just want to kind of go through something here real quick.
Okay.
So right now, for property tax, which is what we're talking about, the inside millage, we're saying we're getting $41,000, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that is from?
Property taxes.
Yes, but who is that from?
Residents, businesses, and utilities.
Right, that's total.
That's everybody.
Okay. We're getting $41,000 for property tax
yes.
between our residents and our businesses. Our neighboring community, which is Valley View, gets $1 million. Every time I just... So what you would be saying, what we would have in that column, we would have basically $400,000 in that column
yes.
instead of $41,000
yes.
if we raised the inside mill
yes,
to 2.4.
Yes, it would be 417, 365. That would be approximately, with the current valuations, what we would receive. The special assessments would not change because we would not be making any assessments. That 1730 are the assessments you pass for people who don't do their grass or
right.
or things of that nature that we put on their property taxes. So we would be going from $41,000 to $417,000 in collections.
If you look on the last sheet, Mr. Colin Graff, Valley View right now is 20 above us
right.
in communities in Cobb County. So if we change this, then there'll be 17 above us. Not even, it'll be 18 above us. Because we're going to move from number 1 lowest to number 3 lowest.
Any reason I use Valley View just because it's a community that adjoins is very similar to us. They do have an advantage. They have they go to the Cobb Heights school system. We all know that. That helps, but it just. This was mine. Was this yours, Mark? Thanks.
Any other questions? Anything about the rubbish or this proposal? Or
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Just curious if we have any idea with the new businesses that we have coming in, new building being built, Cajuns. Mm-hmm. Do we have any clue possibly of what that would also boost this to?
Their payroll or property tax? Well, currently, maybe we'd get another couple $100 a year
okay.
that if we did not increase the millage. So property tax doesn't make a difference either way.
Okay.
Any other comments?
Mayor, property tax means nothing to us. It's not constituted. The businesses, they're not affected that terribly bad as well.
That's why we only have one empty facility.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to refer back to the sheet, I think it's really interesting to look at. So we're looking at valuation, you know, and it gets kind of complex when you take your market value. Your assessed value is 35% of that market value, which is decided by the county. So all of our businesses in 2017 are valued, the 35% valuation is almost $34 million, and we get $10,194 from them based on a very large valuation. So adding in a couple other buildings which may be valued at a couple $100,000 will only probably generate a couple hundred.
Not going to increase it significantly for us. Thank you, Katie.
Mm-hmm. If there's no questions, I'll open up the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone want to come forward and ask questions? Yes, sir. Please come forward and state your name. Yes, yes, sir.
Jeff Alexander, Walton Road. I talked to a couple of the council people in the past few months about, has every other week of rubbish collection ever been considered?
It hasn't been discussed, but we do have a contract currently right now with six other communities, and that's where this number came from, because we did have a substantial bill, and we drove it down because of tonnage and the availability. So I guess that's something we can consider or look into. I don't know what the penalty would be if we broke our contract.
Or a future contract.
Or a future contract. I think we have 2 more years left on this one.
Well, I know personally, sometimes I don't have enough containers, and some weeks I go 3 weeks without using a service. And there's some residents who don't even use the containers. Yeah. You see one little Giant Eagle bag out there every week.
Yeah.
Now, how do you, justify who pay, if everybody's going to pay $11 as a number, how do they regulate who, you don't. Everybody pays across the board, right?
Right. So, the way the contract was bid was unlimited trash.
Yeah.
But I guess in the future we could say one container per home or so much tonnage. We could do something like that because we do have a high senior population, but that's not
sure.
The way it was bidded out.
Okay. All right. I just wonder if it was...
Look, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
You bring that up. I know we didn't discuss it here, but you don't see that... I don't think there's even one. Is there any communities in? I don't think there's any communities in Cuyahoga County that have every other week. I'm not sure on that. I mean, that's something to look into. I know it's more common in rural areas.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of it's self-pay. All of it's
right.
Rural areas.
And the reason why, and this is just kind of from what I remember, but I haven't looked into this recently, is because in more of a suburban setting. You get complaints that there's more trash out there, okay? And then it gets spread out because some people will have a lot for 1 week and double for 2 weeks. Now, the issue, the rub comes in when you use cans, like we do recycling, you're going to have more bags outside the cans, whether animals get into them or whether... That's the only downfall. I'm just kind of throwing something out. I don't know how... I'm not sitting here and saying that's enough to justify it, but I just know there was some talk why you don't see that in suburbia because of the garbage being out. We're in a rural setting. If it goes somewhere, it's going to go on my property because maybe I have, 1,000-foot frontage versus my neighbors right next to me, and now my trash is in their yard because they're picking it up every 2 weeks, so I have more trash. Some people might have less. Some people that probably work. Some people probably go once a month in our community, especially
right.
Some of our seniors. You see that one little blue bag out there,
right.
But that's. I'm just throwing it out. I don't know how true.
Well, that's what I was, curious about it.
Because you do see that it's more common in a rural mm-hmm. setting because it kind of stays on your property.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, one other question.
Yes, sir.
You say there's only one facility empty. Commercial property?
Yeah, it's a 7120, the old weather type building.
What about the Ford property?
Well, that's not up for sale.
Okay.
I'm talking about it's on the market.
Okay.
It's listed.
All right.
There is some buildings on Crick Road that are empty that are inheritance properties,
mm-hmm.
and they're not selling them. Walton Plastics bought the little old shoe-made battery company. I think it was called Akon Battery.
Right.
And they bought it for expansion because they want to expand over on West Creek Road. So there is some empty buildings, don't get me wrong,
right.
But they're not on the market.
Okay.
So we have to be aggressive. Welch's Auto Body, he passed away.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And that property's not for sale yet. Now, I know there's interested persons in it, but they haven't confirmed or even put signs up or anything. So there's a lot of things that are behind the scenes that residents don't have a clue about.
All right. Okay, well, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
A question about this. I mean, it's intriguing. It's definitely something to think about. From the residents' standpoint, only because would you rather pay $12 a month or $14 a month? You know, the problem is, no matter what the garbage refuse pickup went up to, we're stuck with that as far as we can't go back to that proverbial well and say, well, we need to increase it, you know, because we've already done it. If we were to do this, this collections would not take effect until next year, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So regardless of this, we have to concentrate on a budget for this year and doing something for this year.
Yes, this would impact our budget that we proposed to you because we proposed it with everyone paying their trash.
Yeah.
So this means we would absorb another $150,000 into our budget. But this would also go on to property tax, and it would start in January of next year, just like the county sewer maintenance, the same project. Because this year we're not charging anything for that, but now, like Mr. Linville was talking about that piece of property on McCullen and Alexander, that's taken care of because you passed legislation to let them maintenance our sewers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the residents will be paying that next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just looking at the least impact to our residents. That's what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. And this will give us some flexibility. The county will allow us to take advances on our property tax. Most communities who receive a lot of revenue do that in two distributions. We never have because we receive such a small amount. But we would be able to see collections earlier in 19. We wouldn't have to wait until the end of the year. This would also give us more flexibility. Yes, we would have to pay interest if we issued an anticipatory note on this revenue, but we really cannot issue any more debt until we have a source of revenue that is set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have the millage set, that would give us an opportunity to issue some debt, at least until the money starts coming in, to do projects if you choose to.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Would that inside, the increase to 2.4, not the existing inside millage, but the 2.4 increase, I know you touched base on it, we would earmark that?
We can, if you would like to, yes. I would earmark the rubbish, or I would earmark for capital improvements. But that's totally your call. That's not something that we can change at any given time. That's a councilmatic, you know, legislative
right,
piece.
Right.
I'm just looking at a way to find leverage to continue to do improvements, not so much to the existing building or the existing anything else except for our roadways, our roads, and have an opportunity to have a funding mechanism to fix like Dunham Road, fix Alexander Road, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this way that'll make us a better rating on our credit and things like that because we'll have funding guaranteed through the municipal tax.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the audience? Yes, sir. Please state your name and address.
Ray Tinner, 18409 Jefferson Drive. As I have been coming to council meetings now between the last 10, 15 years, I've seen it over and over and over again. I don't want to pay any more taxes. But On the other hand, the residents of this village have told you you have to balance the budget. Why do you want a piecemeal? You've been piecemealing for the last 10, 15 years. A little bit here, a little bit more, a little bit more. Put the inside millage to the full amount. I don't want to pay it, but you have to balance the budget somewhere, and they've told you to balance it, and you can't balance it without the help of the village. So don't piecemeal it. Don't be afraid of your jobs. Put the whole thing on not just 2.4. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Mr. Tinner. Ms. Wardle?
Oh. Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a comment to that.
We'll wait till everybody speaks.
No, I'd like to. Because it. Ray.
Mr. Collingraf, let everyone speak, and this way you can make your comment.
Okay.
Go ahead, Ray.
I'm glad that Ray went first.
Yeah.
Your name and address, please.
Okay. Raymond Whedon, 19346 Rachelle Drive. My comments are somewhat similar. Especially after I left the meeting, the discussion last week, I went home and just thought about this all week long. And my taxes are similar to Don's. And when I think about the amount of taxes that come out of our household, of what comes back to the village, it really makes me think, you know, where do I stand on support for an increase in inside millage? So with the discussion tonight, and we hear about Ms. Miller talk about the Sleepy Village waking up and exciting projects like the movie theater, this village being 67 years old, continually to evolve, we do need funds. We do need revenue in order to even issue debt. You need, because you're managing the funds, you need the money in order to keep the village viable, find the right mix of industrial, commercial, retail, recreation, not just for the villagers, but for those 18,000 cars that come through this village every day. So I'm saying all that to say I'm kind of with the other Ray. I don't want to pay any more taxes. But if it means that my home, town, is going to benefit and others are going to pay, including the industrial and utilities, I think I could support that. Being here every week and hearing what you guys are trying to do, you're doing things that wasn't being done in 1951. There was no JED. There was no overlay zoning. There wasn't even a CIC. So the village is continuing to evolve, and you guys need to add more tools. I don't think you can afford to have a toolbox. You need a tool belt so you can have stuff right at your access. The other question I did, what I really came up to ask the question about is, does the 2.4 cover the costs for the sewer maintenance contract also? I mean, that's still out there on the residents. So if you were to consider taking that away, what additional millage would you have to ask? So that get us between somewhere again between the above the 2.4, but closer to the 3.8. I'll leave that to you guys to decide.
I'm sure that it would be close to 3.8 to cover both costs, I'm sure.
Okay, thank you.
Mrs. Wardle, you wanted to say something? Please state your name and address.
Josephine Wardle, 17850 Egbert Road. I agree with these two gentlemen. Especially since the past council meetings, I've asked you to go back to the 5.0 mills, which, of course, probably is not going to happen. But I agree with the last gentleman that if you could increase it enough to cover the sewer maintenance, then it won't be a little bit here, a little bit there. I think the residents will respect you for doing this, because for what little taxes we pay, we should really be ashamed, our inside millage for the services we get. Then those who are concerned about the rubbish, being that some families have one, some families have 10, there's no equity in the charges, this would be eliminated. And also, like you said, the business and utilities companies would also who also share our services. So I suggest if you consider this, maybe like the other fellow said, include all the all the fees and present this to the residents. This is really saving them money. And those who itemize on their taxes, they can write off their taxes, but they can't write off the fees for the rubbish collection and the sewer. So I appreciate your considering doing this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the audience? Yes, sir. Please give your name and address.
Dennis Ramick, 17945 Rollin. Has anybody asked the businesses, the small businesses in the village, how they would react to this increased millage?
I haven't had that conversation. I know that there's some concerns, but I don't think that...
Because it seems like we're cost-shifting. We're shifting it down to the small businesses that are trying to survive. There's not that many big businesses in this village other than the utilities. And why do we compare ourselves to Cuyahoga County? And where is Manaway?
Manaway is going to Glen Willow.
Okay. So they have
higher millage.
What about Summit County?
I think we did compare ourselves to Summit, and I'll have to get the sheet, but I think I know we're the lowest right now. We're the lowest in the state that we can find at 0.3 mils.
Yeah, but Cuyahoga County is the highest in their tax rate, too.
Yeah, but
sales tax.
I'm saying the whole state. We're lower than Northfield. We're lower than Sagamore. We're lower than all those communities. Lower than Macedonia. We're lower than all those communities.
So why are they being developed so much more than Walton Hills?
They have land. That's the only reason why anybody moves out is land or access. It's not taxes. It's not services. It's not police. It's land. My company was located here. We had a 100,000 square foot Walton plastic building, and then we moved over to Macedonia because we built 120,000 square foot, but we got 20 acres. We don't have land in Walton Hills. Our Crick Road and all those areas are limited.
That's what hurt us with our house. We offered a better tax incentive package, better abatement,
same with Manaway.
Both of them. But we didn't have the land for what they wanted to build. That's what we offered them. You know, it was a better deal to stay here if they could have built the same facility they wanted to build, but they couldn't.
Well, then I agree with both Rays. Be done with this. Raise the inside millage. Can that inside millage be rescinded?
Yes, sir.
Well, then raise.
The council can do.
Be done with this. You're going to create so much aggravation with this garbage collection fee. You got to process it. I got to mail it in every month. Okay. Who wants to write a check out every month?
Thank you, Dennis.
Mr. Collingraf, you want to make a comment about something?
Yeah. I don't get mad or anything. I just there's just a little thing that bothered me, Ray, about your thing. And Dennis, to switch gears real quick, that's been our concern is the small businesses here. This village has done a great job. Every community is having the same problem we are, and that is attracting businesses. But there's other communities, and a lot of other communities are even struggling in another area, and that's retaining the businesses. Believe it or not, we've done a great job of retaining our businesses. We've lost some, which have been some of the bigger ones, which have impacted our village. That four that's devastating to any community, just because it was a large payroll, high-paying jobs, and a lot of employees. But we've done a great job of maintaining our businesses, and that's very, very important. So we've done a good job there, and part of that is, well, taxes, of course. I mean, but raising it is still keeping us lower as we're discussing it. Ray, just to get back to you, what decisions based on our jobs, this is probably one of the hardest jobs, especially when money's tough. I've been on council a long time. When money was there, it's easy. It's like your house. You got plenty of money, it's easy to do everything. When you don't have money, it's tough, tough decisions. These council members, four that were up for election, three that are here, the one new council person, put that levy on the ballot right at election time. Okay? So, and the reason why? Because they felt it was the right thing to do for this village, for this community, regardless of whether they would get reelected or not. Because you know, you were there, you were at the public meetings, they fielded a lot of tough questions, we're still fielding questions. So it's the only thing I'm mad about your thing, about worrying about the job, not worried about the job, about the reelection. Hopefully when people go to vote, they vote and they look at the whole record and what, and people do what, you know, you look at somebody and say, I'm voting for them because they reflect how I would do the same thing, or they're me, they're my vote, or they're doing what's right for the village. Not what's right for themselves, but what's right for the village. That's the only thing that bothered me about the thing. Because in this job, I mean, the money's nice, don't get me wrong. We get a little bit of money. I'm not going to say I'll enjoy that, but it's easier for me to go to my regular job than to come here sometimes, especially when, you know, you're impacting your neighbors, you know, you're impacting your family. Over the years, I've even lost people I thought were friends over this job, okay, because of the decisions I make. And you look and you say, that's kind of sad, and it is. But I had to make the decisions that I thought were best for the village. So that's the only thing that rubbed me wrong when you said, don't worry about your job, just do it. I don't think there's anybody here that's going to do that. We're going to make a decision what we think is best. I know I am, and so I can sleep at night.
Any other comments?
Well, Mayor, where do we go from here? I mean,
well, what I'm going to suggest is let's hold off on the rubbish collection and dissect this when we do our budget and see what the best options are for the village. If you can't make that decision, then let's move forward with the rubbish and continue to move forward. But I think that what Mr. Whedon made a comment about, and everyone seems to agree, we can do recalculation and look at this county sewer maintenance and see if that does work out to a calculation, and that might be better for everyone. So there's like, we're not nickel and diamond and everything else. It makes sense. We're just throwing proposals out for discussion. That's what we're trying to do here. I was interviewed today, just so you know, about the traffic cameras. And I was on Channel 8 and I was on Channel 5. And the traffic cameras, they thought we made that decision within a week or something. And I said, no, we debate many things. And I said, we started in August when the Supreme Court came down. Oh, okay. So we gave them informed information, and hopefully they'll translate it. And it won't be fake news.
No, they
will. I know.
I don't trust them.
So, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
If we do the inside millage, there's got to be legislation, though, doesn't there?
Yes, and our deadline is before July.
We pass it in the tax budget.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is in July.
Which gives you an opportunity. We have to pass a budget for 2018 before the 31st of this month.
Right.
Okay. That's what we have to do. Everyone understands that.
Okay. Because, you know, Mayor, I agree with the two race and the one Dennis. I can't stand taxes either. Nobody likes taxes. I mean, Craig, we started the revolution over taxes, for crying out loud. That was the primary cause of it. But you have to pay for stuff. If you want to maintain your village, keep it in a presentable way, you have to have money to do that. And we've just, since Ford and our house, primarily Ford, that was just devastating to our community. I remember we had people say, oh, don't worry, Ford will pay for that for us. That's all I heard when I first came in this village. I said, God, what a great community, you know. But that's the heyday. That's gone, you know. And I hate taxes as much as anyone else. But I tell you what, I voted for that levy. I'll support this issue too, because you gotta pay for stuff, people. And I'll scrape by. I'll find somehow to get the money together to pay for it. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments from council members?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Ms. Trelawski.
I also agree with Don. You know, the part of raising the inside millage as far as attracting businesses. But we only have one business that's, you know, up for sale. The Ford plant will get developed eventually, and other things are happening. It seems very slow to everybody, but it is happening. But I agree with the guys. Let's quit this nickel and diamond business. You know, let's put the sewer and the trash
on there with the millage and get it done. Nobody will get a bill. You won't be paying that extra $4 for the, you know, processing of things, you know, and just put it on there. It can always be taken off. We're not here to make money or whatever. You know, we want the best for this village. We all have to pay it, you know. Whatever we decide here, it goes in, we have to reach into our pocketbooks too. So I'm in favor of increasing the millage. We've got, you know, we're a beautiful community. Who would not want to be here, really, with the services that we have? Let's use the money that we can fix these roads so we're not pothole heaven and afraid to go down Dunham Road. I'm in favor of increasing it, having all that on there. If Katie can give us a thing with what it would cost, you know, for both things being on there,
absolutely,
what we have to do for next, you know, next for the council meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll break it out into more options and give it to you in April to talk about. Yeah, April's next.
Right.
I want to make sure I had the right month next.
I would put something in a journal too, Mayor, just to make sure everybody's informed.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'm just going to add something very brief. I used to live in Chagrin Falls Village, which is different than the township. My taxes were much higher. I was so glad when I was able to buy a house here and raise my son here and come back here, even though the school system was not what Chagrin Falls is. We paid to send him somewhere else, but I'm still glad I came back here. There's no place like Walton Hills. And I don't mind paying a little bit more to retain the quality of life we have here that Chagrin Falls doesn't have. To join the rec center 15 years ago was over $300 a year for one child, and that was 15 years ago or more. Our prices here are beyond exception. So that's
any
it.
Any other comments?
Mr. Mayor? Yes. One final. I also agree with Josephine, okay, on that.
Glad you got the other
end.
Go ahead, Ms. Cogger.
Mr. Mayor. Mayor, you brought up a very good point that comes up every time we have discussions about living in Walton Hills and the property tax. And I guess that's why it's such a hard balance is when people say, well, you know, Don, I moved to Walton Hills. I'm not happy with this. I'm moving into that school system. And I have that option of saying, well, you buy a house here, you pay less taxes than a house similar in another community that has a good school system. And so I'm not saying there's a wash there, because there isn't. There isn't total wash, but there is some savings there where that money can go for private school, the money you're saving with property tax. So that's why there's a balance here. I mean, you know, you mentioned paying those other two services, you know, one other service, but then that's going to increase us, and that's where is that going to put us in that competitive area with those communities. Mm-hmm. I pointed out Valley View because that is a community we do compete with when people look at it. It's probably the most similar to us because you get a rural setting in Cuyahoga County. But what hurts us is that people point to the school system. People with young families say they pay a little more for a house there. They pay a little more taxes, but they go to that different school system. So there is that balance. There's, and I'm glad you brought it up because I was knew there was missing something. Because we still got to get people moving in here too, and we got to still make this a place where people want to raise a family too. So if you do that, I would be I myself. You know, we look at the 2.4, you figure that out. You figure it out that we'd be the third lowest in the county. I would still like to, if you do that, I also want to know where we would be in relation to the other communities. So if it's broken out in a couple things, that's going to be important to me.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mr. Deke. Please state your name and address.
Oops. Bill Deke, 17076 Egbert Road. Let's reminisce a little bit and back up. What happened to Ford? Now, I was there for 35 years. I spent 35 years at Ford. I was a chief engineer out there, and that's my whole livelihood. It's my retirement now. What happened out there? I just can't comprehend this.
Would you like me to answer that, sir?
Yes.
Ford, in 2007, Ford started sending out buyouts and downsizing, and that was shortly after the Village of Walton Hills went from 1% to 2%. Actually, it was done in 2003 when they went from 1% to 2% in payroll tax, income tax. Ford started phasing out and downsizing. They used to have close to 3,000 employees. When I took over, when I became mayor in 2011, they had less than 900 employees. Ford was not putting money into the company, not bringing things up to date. They did have robots, but they did not have the modern robots. And it went to the union. It went through the union to be voted on to downsize. This is not something that wasn't projected or wasn't announced several times. In 2008, when our village was experiencing the bad economy and they were spending $1.8 million, there was many minutes and questions about the Ford plant. That's when a lot of people were getting their separation pays and their buyouts, and that's how the numbers continue to dwindle down. In 2011 or 12, I believe it was, that's when they made the announcement that they're going to vote on it with the union and they're going to downsize and not put any more money into this building. So from 2011 until 2015 of February, that's when they whittled down and closed out, and a lot of people went to Brook Park that were available. Some did go to Kentucky and some did go to Buffalo, New York, because those plants are all real similar to this plant. And that's where this all came from. And we're not the only one that they closed down. They closed down parts of Brook Park's facility. They closed down some of Avon facility. And they closed down a lot of facilities in Michigan. So all those things took place over a period of time. Council knew this. The village knew this. It was not hidden. It was always broadcasted. There's tons of information out there if you want to check on the internet. It tells you the whole downsizing. When I became mayor in 2011, it was February or March of 2011. They had the stereotype, but they had the little guy from New York, from the little Italian guy that was plant manager. Him and I went and filled out a stereotype. But anyways, the gentleman and I, we both filled out a grant, and they got a great big break on their electricity, which continued to keep them in operation. That Ford plant was the safest one in all the union records that they had. They received numerous rewards for all the things that they were able to accomplish in that facility up there. But they did do away with the Crown Victorian. They did do away with the great big E-van. They did do away with a lot of things that no longer exist. And that's where you see the process. It's just like in my business or your business that you are in. If you do not change machinery, you do not change your tooling, you do not invent and reinvent yourself, you will go out of business. So that's exactly what's happened there. And Ford didn't put any more money into that facility. So just keep in mind, they closed in February of 2015. That was the last time they received a paycheck from Ford. We did receive some money over the last couple of years over the Rudolph and Libby, who's the contractors up there to tear it apart and everything. But we're not receiving anything in 2018. And from what we know right now, there's scrap machines in there that are going to be scrapped out. Everything has gone out of there. And from what we know is gas lines have been blown out for freezing possibilities, the water lines. And you do that, if you read the books, they do that when they're ready to start doing demolition. So that's where we're at. I know that Mr. Mason and I and Katie and being very aggressive with Ford to get some solid answers and end dates and things of that nature. So that's what happened, Mr. Deke. It was projected. It was projected. And no one did anything in those years. In 2008 and 2009, we had some large deficits. We had a lot of employees. In 2010, we had another election. I became council president. We changed our operations. We trimmed our budget. And since 2011 till this date, we've trimmed our budgets down tremendously. I mean, there's not a council member here that can't tell you that. It's approximately $1.8 million. We've cut off of our operations here. We've eliminated jobs. What we used to have, a part-time mayor and four other positions, we have one mayor, and he's doing those four positions. So you save money there. The phone system, if you remember, I went on about all these different reductions and all these different things we've done. We had 16 full-time police. We have 10. I'm preaching to the choir. I know you know the truth. So I'm just letting you know that.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
When did you retire, Bill? What year? What year did you retire?
89.
Mr. Mayor, But
good to me ever since.
Bill, I'm going to look at the question a little different. The bottom line, the business model in the manufacturing of cars changed. Started right here in Marysville with Honda. They built everything on one site, okay? What happened with Ford and Chevy and Chrysler years ago, they put plants in different areas. You had the stamping plant, which you're aware of. What did they do? You stamp the parts, they put them on a train or put them on a truck, and they freighted them to the assembly plant, okay? Put it together. That those costs, that labor just went up. You get somebody like Honda says, hey, let's put it all in one spot. Now we're just moving that piece from here to there. We just cut out all that thing. We save a lot more money. We can sell our car a lot more. That's besides what you're just giving the dynamics there, but I'm just saying you'll never see that business model again in manufacturing, especially in the auto, where you have this plant here, this plant here. They're all in one facility, and it just makes sense because you're cutting out all that thing. I mean, think about it. They were taking those parts and putting them in Avon, weren't they? So you're putting them on, just think of what it costs to take that panel, put it on a train, get it to Avon, get it off the truck, put it in assembly, where if you made it in the building right next door that's attached, a guy just wheeled it, or a woman wheeled it, or a machine, a robot wheeled it, just like the modern plant. So the business model in that thing changed, and so they kept the more modern facilities, the facilities that were closer. There was a lot, you know, it wasn't just... There was a lot of things that went in why they closed it, too, you know. That's why the mayor mentioned it was one of the better performing things, but maybe it didn't meet the other requirements, how far it was located from the plants that were used in the parks and different things. But that's the business model for manufacturing changed, and it changed with the Japanese automakers right here on our home land.
Okay, if there's no more questions or comments, I'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Okay, I hope we answered your question, sir. Next item is item G, Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals Associated Fees Amended. I don't believe anything was amended from last week, correct, Mr. Mason?
No.
And I think that this pretty much covers the cost for anyone that has to come to those meetings, and this way the cost is pushed on to the developer, not the Village of Walton Hills. Is everybody okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Any questions from the audience about Planning and Zoning Board of Appeals cost? I see none. Council members, I'd like to put this on next week's regular council meeting, please. And hopefully we'll get suspension so we can move this forward. Okay, just next slide. Yes, yes.
Just curious, do we know what it cost us last year?
We'd have to break that out.
I was just curious if we knew, sure. You know, like what it's going to end up saving us.
I think that for planning, when we discussed the overlay zoning, that costs us around $1,300 or $1,400.
Yeah, I would say it will easily save at least $5,000 or more in engineering and planning fees.
Right. Okay. Before we were absorbing those,
mm-hmm.
And that overlay zoning was discussed, I think, almost 9 months, and it also went to four different levels. It went to planning, it went to Zoning Board of Appeals, it came to council, it came to COW, so it wasn't lightly reviewed. It was discussed successfully in all committees.
Anywhere we could save money.
Yep.
Any comments on that, Planning and Zoning Commission? Okay. Next item on the agenda is proposed budget for discussion. Council, I'd like to schedule a special meeting for this. We can talk about it tonight, but mm-hmm. I would definitely like to devote a whole meeting to the budget. So I would like for everyone to review their...
I apologize since I was not here. I don't think that the correct information was handed out, so my apologies. It's very similar to what you did receive. There have been a couple minor corrections, but that's all.
Mr. Mayor, does Katie maybe want to go? You want to go through those? Maybe is that way we could see if it's any that affected some of the points that everybody probably looked at it made comment things they want to ask and.
And Brian had brought it up to me. There was one point on the revenues, I think I just typed in the wrong number. For the court fines, I had in there $100,000 extra, which I did not mean to. So if you're looking on this first page at 1,612 court fines, I really only meant to add $100,000, for which would be for traffic cameras. I think the copy you received had 320 on it, so
it had 395.
Right, 395. So.
So what should that number be?
On the one I just gave you now, it's
corrected.
20. Yes.
Okay. Did that change the overall? The addition.
It does change. So the bottom line with this budget, it's showing a $223,000 deficit. This is taking into account that we are selling the old service garage, so there's $200,000. I have a conservative estimate, but possibly realistic, for selling the home by the community center of $100,000. And one thing that, you know, when we do these sewer district projects, sometimes there are timing issues. So last year we had to pay for both the South Meadow Park and the Walton Road project, but we have not received reimbursement yet. So that affects our bottom line for 2017, but it'll be beneficial for 18. We'll be receiving close to $100,000 in reimbursement. Everything else is pretty similar to the budget that was handed out in November and discussed thoroughly. If we want to have a budget meeting, we can go line by line again, since Jennifer wasn't on council at that time. All of the payroll numbers do not have an increase for any employee except for one who was promoted to replace a retired in the street commissioner position, but otherwise there's no increases in personnel, and there's very few projects. If you go into expenditures, if you look in capital improvements, we have just the basics in there. We have $105,000, which
do you want to give us a number, maybe, Katie? Is that easy? Easier?
No.
A line.
Oh, a cost code. If you're only at 40, if we're into the 4901 and in expenditures under capital improvements.
Okay,
it's at the bottom of the page.
Yeah. So 105,000. That's budgeted for engineering costs. There is $75,000 included in here, which was added for potential repairs to the garage at the community center. There is $41,000 in here for a new police vehicle, and $595,000, which is for the intersection. That amount includes the fluted poles, the mast arm, so that can be amended if you choose to go with the cables. And then the $70,000, the transfer out, is what I hope to pay down on our note when we reissue in the fall. Otherwise, most other departments are pretty standard expenditures. Now, as far as revenues, I think it's an extremely low estimate to expect $100,000 from our traffic cameras, but we don't want to bank on that and can't depend on that being our main revenue source,
right, right.
Because we never know what can happen with legislation. So I feel pretty good about our tax estimate. Obviously, we were down pretty substantially from the year before. This does not include what we may get from new businesses who are coming into the village, because we can't really depend that we're going to see the impact until maybe even 19. We may see some for about a few months out of this year, but not enough to substantially impact what we think it could be. Just trying to think if there's anything else that are major. You'll see Our dispatch contract is increased. That went through, so we will be receiving that extra $35,000 for that. Any other questions that just off the top of your heads you had or you want to
I have some questions, if nobody
sure.
else. Ones that you didn't. I'm trying to compare what I had to
sure,
what you have
sure.
now.
Sure, and right. apologies.
That's all right, no problem. The charges in the revenues page, charges for finances, line 0486, it would be on your revenue page about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down.
590-0486.
Yeah, this year, actual 2017 income. Now, this is charges for services finance department.
Yeah.
That's for Vic doing the taxes,
no, this
correct?
Is actually for our administrative fee for doing JED collections.
Okay, JED collections.
So
okay.
The reason it's 8240 is the 17 actual. We had changed the cost code we were posting it in. It was actually going up into the 130s, but it's more applicable to be in a charge for service in the 590s. But so 24,000 is about 3% of the collections for the JED.
Okay. And then the charges, and I'm looking at the first page of this is what I had word. It's the each section, each department.
You're on the actual report 52.
Yeah.
Okay.
Charges for services in 2017 actual was $168,243, and we're budgeted $225,000 income. $225,796. That's a difference of $57,500. Where does that come in?
I think that there was a decrease because of the revenue that we were receiving by Vic contracting out, but then it increases because of assessing for the trash collection. So those two kind of offset, but it is an increase overall. But this would be if we continued with the hope of collecting for trash.
Okay.
If we remove that, that's, you know, $150,000 out of the special assessment line, which will then take us to about $400,000 deficit.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I know, kind of doing the same thing, Brian, just kind of jumping around from things. One of those things, Katie, that was different was in the expenditures was Community Day. Because I see in the one that we were giving out thing that you had nothing, there was, and now the $20,000 back
yes,
in there?
That's what
one, okay.
I noticed.
Because I circled that. I just was wondering.
There were a lot of zeros, which
yeah.
Were not accurate. So it remained at $20,000 for Community Day.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the other one, okay. That was an error, one of those. Okay.
Not blaming Vic or anything.
This budget does reflect the 0% for the police department for 2018, and it also reflects all our employees paying 15% of their health care, whereas last year they only paid 10%. So that was, you know, budgeted in when we made the modifications in August. And you can see the police is down to, what, 1.8, 1.7?
Yeah, roughly. They're down quite a bit.
And the police used to be, when we started in 2011, at 2.3.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I think another thing, I don't know if we're moving forward, if we're going to, it seems like it, because everybody's kind of looking at the budget, looking at new thing that we're going to have another budget meeting, okay? If that's the case, though, I mean, I think something at least we can throw out there and start talking about. That's not the thing I know you put on there talking about the Lake Club contract. And I think that's something we always spend time on, and if we are going to decrease it or not. I don't think it's a bad idea. At least I just wanted to point that out because I know we have things. Because I know we're kind of looking at things. Maybe it's something we should discuss too. We don't have to settle it. We can discuss some of it here and then moving to the next meeting too. But I know you gave some percentages if we decrease it. The present contract for the services they provide the village is $20,000, and you put some. It's been the same since 2010, so it's going on 8 years. The contract with them that we have has been the same amount, which is, I don't know the exact contract, but a good idea. It's 2 days. It's varied. Sometimes 3 days that we give the Parkers program. They go down to the lake, and then of course there's six or 7 days. Any resident can go down there without being a member. There's free swim lessons. I don't think we have any trustee members here, but there's free swim lessons and to any residents and their children. So I just kind of want to summarize that a little bit. I feel it's a great deal. I don't think we can provide any type of swimming for, it's a deal at $20,000. The only reason this council and the mayor brought it up along when they worked with the, I do know this, the mayor explained it to me, he talked to the Lake Club president, was because we are cutting everything. We've cut employees, we cut things. So I know the mayor said, you know, we got to look at all, cut some of recreation, so we need to look at this contract too. Even if it means cutting back some of the, which we really don't want to, but if they were to say, hey, we can't provide the same type of service, you know, with the kids down there, and we understand that. So I just kind of want to get that out of there. But I know they're in a community around it can provide any type of swim thing for even $20,000. I mean, just to operate a pool, Macedonia's pool, I mean, just for chlorine, they're probably at $200,000. I think the Lake Club spends about $14,000 a year just on their chlorine and lifeguards, you know, because they pay for lifeguards. So, but I just thought that was something that we could probably get at least hash out or one of those things and not come back to it. Because I think if we come back to the budget, Mayor and Katie, I think we're probably going to look more through the lines again. We've done it a couple times, but I think we're going to review it. I know, Brian, you look like you got some stuff there you want to discuss.
No, I got a lot of stuff.
Instead of jumping around, we probably go more systematic like we normally do and just go right through it. So I didn't want all of a sudden we get into a Lake Club contract and that kind of derails the focus because we need to get this budget passed by the end of this month.
It seems to be more productive when we go line by line, page by page.
Yep.
And we all take notes and ask our questions or answer our questions, and it gives you a better perspective. The budget that we did propose to you last week for you to review Wednesday, I did send out another correction, but go with what Katie gave you tonight. That's the most accurate, and I'm sure it's going to adjust a couple more if we do absorb the trash and some other variables such as that. This budget does not reflect the asphalt repair, you know, that we get the county money for, so we have to look at that in the budget, and it does not reflect
any other road projects.
The community center for the aprons. If we look at South Meadow Park, we would probably have to put it in the budget and then wait for the reimbursement from Northeast Ohio Sewer District. Mm-hmm. If we want to go that direction, I'm just letting everybody know the different options there. You already know the program, but I'm just saying this is the information in front of you.
Mr. Mayor, I wanted to make a point so people know this isn't the, we had budget meetings all through 2017 because we put a temporary budget out there, so we've gone through this line item by line item quite a few times already. We're tasking this mayor, as always, and as an administration, to present more things, and maybe we'll find something, maybe we won't, because they do a great job of really keeping it, running this village at a very low cost. But I just want to let you know, it's not like we're trying to squeeze it in by the end of this month, and we just had two. We've been having two meetings, but by the end of the month, we got to pass a permanent budget. Okay, so this has just been part of the process.
I'm happy to do it now if you want to have a special meeting. It's whatever you want to do. I will do whatever you want.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I've been doing some homework over the weekend and stuff, and I know we got to balance the budget, and this new one is $223,177 deficit. That does not include the trash. That's another $150,000. What scares me is this. In 2013, that was kind of an anomaly. We had $3.6 million in the bank. 14, we had 3.3. 15, we had 3. 16, we had 1.99. And at the end of last year, we had $796,000 in the bank. So we've all had good intentions over these last years, but it's not working out. And that's the harsh reality of that. And so I took this, and I've got very general numbers. Of course, we have other things to look at, your proposal for the inside millage and that, but that doesn't come until next year. We have this year to worry about. So I've just jotted down some ideas. I don't expect anything to get resolved tonight. It's just for mulling over. But this is what I have. I went through each department, service department.
We'll get a copy of what you...
Sure. What I'll do is I'll put it in... It's in handwriting. But what I'll do is I'll put it on a computer and I'll send it to you so you can look at it. And I'm not going to be anybody's friend with this. Service department, we currently have one street commissioner.
We eliminated assistant.
Exactly. We eliminated the assistant. That street commissioner makes... this is salary. The street commissioner's salary of $65,700. There is a zoning stipend that is shared between two people. That zoning stipend is $3,750 a year, and then the building inspector stipend, he is a licensed building inspector, $14,000. That all totals up to $83,500. Now, I don't believe $83,500 is too much money for our building inspector. I just don't. The zoning stipend, I should say, as a side note, I'm wondering if that could be rolled into the whole, as a matter of accounting, the whole, whether it's a building inspector stipend or whatever, because what's the difference? I understand the difference is for the building inspector, you need licenses. For the zoning inspector, you don't, but he's doing the same stuff, okay? I don't know if we have to share that with another person or not, but that's beside the point, just a side note. We have five skilled workers besides the building inspector. We have five skilled workers. We have one, I didn't even consider a mechanic, one facilities maintenance worker. Mm-hmm. And there is listed an $18,000 for a part-time employee, but that is not filled, according to my understanding.
No.
I would... if we laid off the two bottom guys with salary, health, retirement, this does not include Medicare, life insurance, or workers' comp, I come up to $107,104.66. That's salary, health, 14% retirement for each of them. Recreation, I would get rid of the two drivers. It's budgeted for $15,000. We make $3,500 in income. That's a difference of $11,500. The trips, either make that cost neutral or get rid of them. They're $1,500 is what we spend. Fuel is $4,000. That would go down accordingly. I just left that alone because I have no way of knowing how much that would go down. Professional clerk of court. I know at one point she was part-time. I would put that person back to part-time. I would have to see evidence that we need a full-time employee with paying health care. Oh, and I'm sorry, speaking of health care, the health care cost that I used was the very bottom end, low end of $68,84.39 per year with the village expenses. The health care runs the gamut from that figure to $20,831. So I don't know who these people are. I specifically didn't ask. Do not give me names. I don't want names. So I don't know what the health care for those people really are. But like I said, it runs the gamut from $6,800 is what I used. So that figure is very low, or very conservative, I should say. Putting the court clerk back to part-time, I calculate a savings of $10,600 in salary. I could be off, but that's what I did. I did $20.40 times 30 hours a week times the 52 weeks. She's currently making a salary of $42,432. Health care of $20,831. The health care would go down to zero. And the retirement would go down from $59.40 to $44.55. Add all those up, that's $32,924 savings.
From what position is that?
That would be the court clerk to part-time.
Okay.
As a side note, I know I've had conversations with residents about the mayor's court and the magistrate, and we've had this conversation too. And I'm thinking about that. In my opinion, I would not vote to put you down to 2 days a week or 3 days a week or change it in any way, shape, or form, because in my opinion, we can't right now. We're in a lawsuit, and that lawsuit contends that we changed the rate of pay while you were intern. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Correct.
Although the mayor did not take any money whatsoever for doing those added. I want to put that in there. But that court case has not been properly adjudicated yet. So if it is adjudicated that we were in the wrong, and we changed it back, we would be wrong in doing that because
right.
He is in term. So in my opinion, we can't change it if we wanted to right now. So I didn't even look at that. But I did obviously look at the court clerk. The impact group is a group that we hired to do promote. I wouldn't say promotions. I would say not even advertising. That's a
social
bad word.
Media.
The media stuff that we put out and things like that. We have a 6 month contract with them, and that's $4,000 a month. I would shelve that contract for right now. And the reason why I'm going through all these is we have talked about prospects of businesses and things like that coming in and increased revenues for next year. That's great, and we've talked about that stuff for years. Those are eggs that haven't hatched yet. And I believe with $790,000 in the bank or less that we got to just kind of sit on our hands for a while and let that money build up, let that income build up, and then work with something solid. That I'm only one of six, one of seven, if it turns into a 3-3 vote, you know. So dispatch, I don't know. We have $364,000 in salaries. I don't know if, and obviously we do get income from our dispatch, and the mayor negotiated that very finely. I forget what the number is for next year. $180,000 of that is is so roughly half, or more than half, actually. But are there some efficiencies we can do in that? I'm not the expert. That has to be done through the chief and the mayor. Maybe there are some efficiencies we can do with that. But Don mentioned the lake contract. I think as far as the lake is concerned, I think that's our biggest bang for the buck for our recreational opportunities. So I would do my best to keep that. Don Sheehy answered my question before about moving the completion date of Northfield Alexander Road so we can split. That will help our budget tremendously. We can split those expenses between the 2 years. We do have, as the mayor mentioned, the $200,000 sale of the garage. That helps our budget, but that's a one-time only. You know, as we all know, we sold our cell tower, and that helped our budget at the time for that year, but it was a one-time only. We don't get anything for that anymore. We do have an accountant. I don't know if we need an accountant full-time. I did speak with Katie this afternoon about what the difference is between the fiscal officer and the accountant, and I know the accountant does a lot of work. I don't have any idea if that work requires full-time or we could put that person down to 30 hours. I don't know. So what I have now is service, rec, the professional services of the court clerk and the impact group. That adds up to a little over $177,000 that I have. I don't like to be the guy that suggests laying anybody off. I've been laid off before, and it stinks. But I can't let the village run out of money. So that's what I have. Food for thought. I will put, Mr. Linville, I'm going to work early tomorrow morning. By the way, I got to go to bed. It's getting late. But I will, as soon as I can, put this into a hard, you know, on the computer, and I'll email it to everybody. Just food for thought. I can't, whatever we do, I can tell you this now, I can't vote for a budget that has a deficit in it. I can't. And again, I'm only one of six. So that's where I'm at with this. Thank you. I appreciate your time and your thoughts.
I just want to point out our accountant, she generally only works about 35 hours a week.
Okay.
And she does not take health care. So.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Good. Well, that helps.
We are prepping her to take Vic's place
and
when he leaves in May.
She would take
Yeah, that's
slack.
Good.
And Vic makes substantially more money than she does.
Yeah.
He does, yeah.
And you need a fiscal officer if you're going to collect income tax.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
is the fiscal officer, yeah.
And for, I mean, tax administrator.
Yeah, tax administrator, yeah.
Mr. Mayor, and Brian, I know we've talked and appreciate that. I think we should at least touch base on some of these why we're here, because it gives us a little more food for thought, a little more for us to just, so at our next meeting, Mayor, just so we can, the court clerk, she does other duties too, isn't that correct?
Yes.
What are those duties?
She does data entry for the tax department. She also does, when Lisa's not here, and does things with the
building department.
The building department. They've all been trained to do the permit issuing and stuff like that, because we eliminated Bernie Graham's position. So everybody absorbed more work. She also works with the police department for the warrants and all those things, and keeps those processes in place. So there is a list. I can give you a list and break it out. That particular position you're talking about, if you'll look at our past operations in 2008 and 2009, we were paying a lot more money for that position.
Yes.
And it was full time. Mm-hmm. So we are not paying the $25 or $26 an hour that we were paying before.
Yeah, let me, Mr. Mayor, I just ran my own spreadsheet, which I'll send everybody a copy to. I got done with this stuff mostly this afternoon, this spreadsheet. you know, I'm looking at this. What I did was I took the personal services and benefits line items from all those groups, and from 2007 to the proposed 2018. And I'm trying to find a smoking gun, you know, and there isn't any.
Right.
There just isn't any. We have cut back. The mayor's cut back.
Got it.
We've cut back. There's nothing out of line that, you know, year over year. There's some things that have increased a little bit, but mostly it's all gone down. You know, I don't want to insinuate that in any way, shape, or form that our expenses have gone out of control, because that's just not the case. You know, when I'm talking about laying off two service guys, that leaves us with four people on the road to do all that work. If we got to do that, we got to do that, but, you know, and things aren't going to get done. I realize that.
Well, what will happen as far as the service, if we do that process, it'll be two guys on 12-hour shifts when it snows.
Yeah.
Okay, instead of right now where we have two guys on 8-hour shifts, so we're not paying overtime.
Well, maybe we could hire during the winter part-time or something like
that. That's the reason
why
we have part-time in there to try to
work.
And that part-time that's in the budget is also for grass cutting.
Sure.
Because we feel that that's another over-budgeted cost that we pay somebody that could do that. So there's a lot of different variables, and I'd be glad to go across the board on line by line to show you everything, because I'm very confident of what we've done. As you said, we've removed tons of money and tons of opportunities in the operations. So is there any other questions about this particular budget that we could schedule a meeting? I think it would be better that we devote that, because we have some other items on the agenda I'd like to move forward with and be prepared for next week's council meeting. No. But if there's any questions or something.
No, just to get back, and I don't mean to labor, because I know everybody wants to go and stuff, and we set up another meeting. But I guess what, and Kevin, you just just touched on it, is when we talk about, especially some of these items you talked about, Brian, which really we're going to need the input, which we get from you, can you operate in a thing? Because if we pay overtime or don't get the job done, and, you know, yeah, if we don't provide the same type of service, do we want that too? Okay, or are we being, and I get it, I appreciate the whole thing, but it's really going to be important, can you operate on that? I mean, you can sit there, we can lay everybody off, but are we still going to accomplish what we need to accomplish? We got to keep the roads clean, there's no doubt about it, okay? You have to do certain things, whether you want to or not, just like we're talking about the roads. So I guess what I'm saying from the administration, some of these items are going to be very important for us to break out. If you come out and say you can't do it, that's going to weigh in. I understand the thing, Brian. I guess that's what was tough with us at the town hall meetings. People said use the rainy day fund, and that's what we did. That's what we've been doing for years to keep the cost down to the residents. That's what we did. Like you said, we. Mm-hmm. The impact group. That is. I know that sounds like a lot. But I thought we're using them also for some economic development, too.
Help us with the promotion parts and the information and stuff like that, loading up the database. One of the things that...
That's a key piece for me.
A lot of the things council doesn't understand is most of these memos you see with the misspelling, that's me. Most of this information, that's me. Because I don't have the staff. You think that Katie's my assistant. She's my assistant part-time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she does correct a lot of my grammar and a lot of my information. But a lot of this information you see is what I do on my in-between hours. Mr. Collingraff, you know that I snowplowed this winter.
Right.
You know that I was up in the
truck. No, I told you shouldn't.
I know, but we didn't have the manpower. We have one gentleman that has some issues, that can't drive at night. We have another man had a flu, and another man was busy with his family functions. But it didn't stop the snow from coming down.
Right.
So your mayor worked 18-hour shifts snowplowing. But that's not something I'm complaining about. I can do as much as you allow me to do. If you guys want me to go up there and do mechanicking, I'll do mechanicking.
No, Kevin, it's not about...
I'm just telling you, if that's what you
it's
want me to do, because we've done so many extreme things that people aren't even understanding. You know what happened today on Hannah Parkway. Truck pulled out, and a big air compressor fell off his engine.
Oh,
it was in the middle of the road. No police, no nothing. Turn on my lights, I get out there, pick it up, put it in my trunk. That's your mayor.
Did you give it back?
Yeah, well, I took it to...
I need an air compressor.
I took it to the service garage for them to be in charge of. But a car ran over.
Wow.
And we had to back a car up, stop traffic. It was at 1:30. So there's things like that happen all the time. Katie will tell you, I'm out there shoveling snow, I get yelled at for that. I don't know how many times there's function going on where I'm trying to do it. In fact, my police help me set up tables now. But we can't take them off the road. We can't take them for safety reasons.
Right, right, right.
I mean, I could go on for quite a long time that people aren't even aware of what's going on. I mean,
you know,
there's a lot of things that are going on.
Right, and you're right, Mayor. You know, the previous mayor would never gone out and shovel snow. I know that. But
didn't even show up.
I can recall when we passed two budgets.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
Each year, two separate years. $1.8 million deficits in it.
Yeah.
We didn't even blink our eyes, okay?
No, because we had $10 million in the bank.
Yeah, we had money in the bank.
And who would have thought that we would have suffered through a recession that was the greatest recession since the Great Depression for all those years. We had no idea, you know, so we didn't have any pride. That's why we didn't bat an eye when we did it. Oh, it'll come back. Well, it didn't. And we're sitting here with $700,000 left in the bank. And that is not all unencumbered.
Correct.
Which means some of that, if not all of it, is really spoken for. So... we got to do something.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
And what the important thing that, besides losing the big thing, was when we had, even when we had a few millions, we were getting an interest. This is the part that a lot of people don't know. We get very little interest, you would think. People, when the interest rate was high, people were getting 10 and 12%. The village was still getting only 3% on 10 million. I think, what is our heyday, 6%? And the reason is because the government, our federal government, which it makes sense, and the state says you can only invest in certain funds, very low risk, which makes sense because they don't want you to take public funds and invest in high risk and now lose money that isn't yours, you know, this body. So we had and those funds are just funds that are dictated by the federal government and the state. You know, we just can't invest because people say, you're getting, what are you guys, crazy? You don't know where to put your money? Well, we don't have a choice. We had to put it in certain things that are told to us. When that went, remember, we used to get $600,000 just in interest, so that helped operate the village. So when the recession and everything took place, and now all of a sudden you're getting 2%, we're getting 0.25, a half a percent, sometimes nothing. $1 million, and it's like unbelievable. But that's our government helping us in some ways. But it's crazy. Yeah, no. Because every time I tell people that, well, Don, you guys don't know what you're doing. I can take my $1,000 and get 5% at the time, you know, and you can't even, I could. Well, that's true, but it wasn't with our money because we weren't allowed to do that. You had to just put it in certain funds.
Right.
So the part that I wanted to make the point is we were getting a lot of money on interest. We get nothing on our interest. What are we getting right now, Katie, on that $1 million or $700?
We get about $2,400 a year.
Yeah. Now, you know, you could take that money they gave you, and you'd make a lot more than $2,400 a year. Very simple. Not even being a real high risk.
I was going to invest in Bitcoin there for a minute, but
we probably don't have budget problems right now. But I'm just saying, I mean, when we used to have that budget, that interest was thing, and then really changed
incredible.
A lot of things, too.
Well, it's another access that we've lost. Yeah. Since Brian brought up the courts, this was a public records request by a council member, so I wanted Katie to go over it if possible. This is all consisting of the court because there's always seems to be some questions. But you'll see every year from 2011 until present of how many court cases, how many that I handled, how many that were total tickets written. And you'll see the fluctuation from 2011 and 12. Then when you get to 14, you see it jumping up tremendously. and then you see it continue to climb into the 1,000 court cases that come before me. But you add the court cases and you add the amount of tickets, there's a substantial amount of tickets, and that's where we invented that cost for our police cars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got the money for the police cars. Now, these are the ordinances that council approved and was voted on in 2011, and it's in the lawsuit, and this is the ordinance that shows all the pay of the mayor and shows everything that's been voted on and approved by council. And then there's an ordinance in here from 2014 where the council made the amendments. The reason I bring this forward is if someone has a problem with these issues or these information, it's all factual, it's all on the board. You have to talk to the council because they voted for this.
Sure.
I'm not doing anything different that council didn't already do.
No, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Well, who requested this? I've seen this umpteen times already.
Ms. Allen requested it before
you
information.
You requested this?
Yes.
Your father is the one that's suing us. These people sitting here, they're taxpayers' dollars.
Then what does that have to do with my request? Not
it's already
lawsuit.
Been out there. You ask your father, I'm sure he'd probably give it to you. What are you going to do with it?
I requested this back in February when the mayor first gave us the listing, and I asked him for the missing years that were on there.
We're on the budget right now.
So that's related to the budget.
I've seen this umpteen times already. This is crazy. I mean, is this going to go to an attorney or what?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Collins.
Excuse me, what are you insinuating?
I don't think we need a debate here. I think let's stick to the... I want to move in a positive way. I think we need
this
to
is the memo
stay focused here.
That requests everything to do with the community building. Everyone purchased and bought.
And who requested this?
Ms. Allen did.
You requested this also?
I believe that question was just answered.
And this
yes.
just...
I've seen this a million times, too. Look at the paperwork, and you want to... And we want to lay off people and make them part-time?
I requested this information. This was not my choice to make copies of all of it and pass out to everybody for all of this paper.
You came to a town hall meeting with everything.
Ms. Terlowski, we're not going to debate that at this meeting, okay? I want to just let you know that last week when the lady came forward and made the comments about the building and I spouted off, I was wrong. It was not $50,000. It was $49,600 for that operation of that facility and everyone's paychecks and every piece of utility. And there's a list of every rental and everything we've done with this facility. So once again, this is a decision you as council need to make a decision. Do we want to sell this facility?
Or what facility is that?
The building down the road there.
The one we purchased last year. Not the building. We talked about selling the house.
No, we are selling the house, but I'm saying because the building seems to become a contentious issue, we can very well market that.
I haven't felt it as a contentious issue. You had one resident come forward, so I don't feel it.
I did not mean for this to come across as some sort of contentious issue. I've had questions from residents, and I wanted the information about how many times it was rented or it's about to be rented because you had made numbers statements. This way, I have factual information in my own hand that when a resident asks, I can give them.
You can't ask us at a council meeting, a COW, that question. He can give you those answers. You're here. You can write them down.
Well, and Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
When I voted for this to purchase that building, I also requested... make sure we did a separate accounting because we were, and to make sure where we know where our numbers are and we do have the factual information. So, you know,
it's less than 12 months and we've been successful in that.
Good.
Well, I think we're getting a fairly good accounting though. I mean, I don't.
I have no problem. Yeah.
I'll ask Ms. Sandy Green to give us a record every quarter on the rental so you have a written report.
I did, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
The lady that was here last week.
Yes, Ms. Fitzpatrick.
Yes. I was going to refrain from using the name, but she made a comment. One of the comments that she made was about how poor we are to our businesses,
mm-hmm.
and I did reach out to her a couple days later via email, and asked her. I basically stated.
paraphrasing that you made this statement. What exactly do you mean by that? And you know, is there anything we can do as a community, as a village, to help the businesses? Because you're a business owner. She didn't really have anything. She talked about a dumpster ordinance that we passed 11 years ago, and with Les Sheeler and
screening for the dumpster.
Right, but that was actually drawn back, if you remember.
Yeah.
A moratorium on it, it's never been enforced.
Right. Well, that was the contention. But it's a long story to get to. One of the things, she made several phone calls to the rec department and never left a message. I did get a hold of the rec department. And I was talking to one of the ladies over there, and I was talking to her. You mentioned the lady's name who does the booking. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to gather some information. Do we still need this lady? Would one of you like to take it over? The response was emphatically no. We don't want anything to do with it. And the reason was, she said, and she was very straightforward, very honest, very candid, and I thanked her for her candor and everything, that this lady is there all the time. Mm-hmm. She's there on weekends. She's there at 11 o'clock at night. She's there at 7 in the morning, whatever. She's there. She does a lot of upselling with the room, as far as people wanting to initially rent the smaller room, and she ends up renting the bigger room. And has, you know, it just went on and on and on and on. And the response was, if, you know, you're asking me, does she make her money's worth? The answer is over and over again, absolutely yes. So I left it at that, you know. That's all I know about that lady, that she works hard for that $300, and nobody else would want to do it.
It's been successful, yes.
So, and it's apparently here, according to the numbers, it's been successful. So what more can you want?
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mary Brenner.
Just to add to what Brian said, you know, I spoke to Carol at the rec center, and actually I saw her. Josephine was there when we were in the room together. She walked in later on, and I had discussed with Carol what had transpired here at the prior COW meeting. She shows me the binder she keeps, that if she's not here, there is an answering machine. She writes down who calls at one time, and she calls everyone back. She said, I don't remember ever getting a message from her. She said, no, I'm not here all the time, but I'm here quite a bit, but I always call everyone back. And here was the log to prove it to me. So, you know, our employees are doing their job. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I know Carol. I can't imagine her not calling someone back.
She's calling me back every time I've ever called her and left her a message. She's calling me back.
So,
and Carol is there all the time.
Yeah.
She's continually there.
So, Council, I just wanted you to have those things to relate into your budget. So I would like to see everyone look at their schedules and see when we can schedule a budget meeting directly to where we can address the budget and go line by line and spend time on the budget, every single item, and hopefully have a special meeting before the end of the month to pass a budget for 2018. Also, if everybody's comfortable with that, that's what I'd like to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, we'd open it to audience for the budget, and then I want to do some other business and then hopefully get an adjournment, okay?
Sure.
Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Any comments from the audience about proposed budget that we passed out? I know you haven't had a budget in your hand, but it is over here in this box, and if you would like a copy of it, we'll be more than happy to give it to you. So I don't see any comments from the audience about the budget. Oh, yes, please come forward. State your name and your address.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Katie, on that meeting, so then we'll have, most of it's going to be to the budget, but then there will be a small, maybe do first the millage?
Yeah, I'll include that.
We'll definitely include that in the millage.
Go over
that.
Because I know for myself, and Brian, I understand exactly where you're at, you know, because you're right. We, you know, you, how low is too low, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's something, Katie, I, you know, to ask you is, you know, where is, you know, as a fiscal officer and you got Vic as the tax administrator, you know, where is that bottom line, too, as far as having in our reserve?
I wouldn't want to go.
You don't have to say it. I'm just those are just things that be asked. I think we should talk about the millage first, because that part, you know, maybe this year we'll have a deficit, but if we see something next year, maybe a savings, something, you know, start building up our reserve. That's all I just wanted to say for you.
Okay, we're going to yield the floor. Go ahead.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Sherry Alexander. I live at 7312 Walton Road. And I was wondering if it would be possible to make available the expenses and the income for the church, because I am one of the people that question the wisdom of purchasing that, and it would just be nice to see, you know, if it is fiscally responsible.
We have a copy. I just gave out to council. If you'll just wait, I'll give you my copy, okay?
Okay, tonight. Thank you.
Okay. I have it here somewhere.
And just to note on that, it's only showing the money that's been received so far. So it's showing all the bookings that we have. We have there are a couple village-sponsored events, but we're at about 60 for this year, and we have 5 events booked already in 2019. So the prices vary that we're going to receive, and we generally don't collect the money until we're closer to the event. So all of the funds have not been collected yet, but these are all reserved and booked.
So does this show expenses?
If you look
on
the
front
page
there, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It shows the utilities and everything on the front page.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments about our budget? Okay. Seeing none, Council, I have one item for other business. I think you have it in front of you. We did close off the deal with Cajun Trucking from the CIC, and I have a signed agreement in front of you. And I think at next week's council meeting, we were going to do a resolution, but I don't think we need to have one by law. But at the next week's council meeting, I want to bring it back up, and hopefully we get a motion that everybody agrees to it. Mm-hmm. It's the $200,000 purchase. It's the 7 acres. And we did change a little bit of the dates, nothing major, because they said they couldn't move some of the concrete until probably August. But we allowed that. But we do have a sample and renderings in here. It's in color of what it looks like before and what we projected to be looking at afterwards. Okay? So this will be on next week's agenda just for a motion, I think, to accept the offer that's been made by the CIC. Is that correct, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions or comments about that deal?
Nope.
Okay. And that was passed unanimously at CIC, and just like this building here, this was passed unanimously as well.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments from council members? Seeing none, please look at your schedule. We'll post it when you're available for the budget hearings this week or next week. The 27th, I think it is Tuesday. It's State of the Village. That's the last Tuesday of March. That'll be at the community building. And we'll have a lot of this information about these new businesses, the buildings, and what our budget is and where we're at and all this other stuff.
I have a question, sir. About that, it may be too late, but is it too late to move that to 7 o'clock as opposed to 6 o'clock only? Because I'm thinking of residents who may want to attend, but they don't get out of work until 5 o'clock or so, and it might make it easier. But if it's already posted,
it's already been in our journal.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
We'll be there longer than an hour, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, you will be, yeah.
You know, we could have some, like, drinks and pastries and start at 6:30.
We could open the doors at 6 and start at 6:30, maybe.
We could try
if everybody would feel comfortable with that. But it does say...
Well, whatever, yeah.
Then they're going to be mad just sitting around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
We'll do it twice.
Let's get a move on.
Two
I thought this started at 6.
Two showings.
Two shows. If you only knew the hours I put in.
I know.
Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to, again, formally request an excuse from the 20th council meeting.
Next week.
My son's registration at Padua. Our registration time is 6:20, and it's only on Tuesday, so.
There'll be no problem with that.
We'll make that motion at the meeting.
Thank you.
Share your availability for next week or later this week, and so we can try and get some discussion with the budget. And if we could, on the 26th, the Monday before the town hall meeting or the State of the Village, maybe we can pass the budget, or maybe we'll have to wait till after the State of the Village, one way or the other. So look at your schedule. It's coming up on us very quickly.
I'll send out an email to everybody and start gathering dates and times and confirm something for everyone. So. Okay.
Mr. Egg, it doesn't have to be a Tuesday, so everybody...
I mean, whatever. But you're available. Yeah.
Right.
Because we all have different work schedules and stuff.
Okay. I'll have it for you tomorrow.
And Mr. Mason, you don't have to come.
I'll send it to you. Are you
sure?
I told you, otherwise I'd give it to you right away.
That's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Everybody, Mayor, before we adjourn, I'd just like to wish you a happy birthday. Today's
happy
his birthday.
Happy birthday.
Maybe get a couple
of hours. You don't look a day
left.
Over 90.
Yeah. Just go home and watch Channel 8 News. You'll see how old I really look. Or Channel 5.
I saw it already.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, did you see me?
You look good on TV.
Oh, do I now? I told him to do some good editing.
I don't know.
You're nice, Bill, because I've never told him that.
Bill wants to borrow money.
No, we need to borrow from Bill.
Any other questions or comments? Can I have a motion for adjournment, please?
I make a motion to adjourn. The
second.
CRW.
Second.
Second by Ms. Chrzalowski. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, vote on the motion, please.
Councilperson Linville.
Yes.
Brenner Miller.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Chrzalowski.
Yes.
Kolograph.
Yes.
Spitznagel.
Yes.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned tonight at 8:50 p.m. Thank you, Councilmember.
More paper. I do what I like to.